Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! I got a feeling it's going to be a busy night. Kind of hard to be jovial about things, but after what went on today, and you know, I gotta admit, it's prayer meeting. You know what? I'm not up to the prayer meeting intro tonight either. I'm not trying to be grim or anything, but I hate it. I freaking hate it. When I sit behind this microphone, like I did last night, and I say things like, they're dangerous, they're killers, they're murderous. And then I go to check the news and start doing my show prep, and lo and behold, I get proved right. But it's going to be, you know, the usual same old, sorry litany of BS in the for-profit media as we try to analyze just why it is that an octogenarian named James von Brunn would go in and shoot up the Holocaust Museum. And, you know, thank God I don't watch very much for-profit media. Because if I did, I'd never get past well howdy on this program. It'd all be screaming. It'd just be, for 3 hours. Because I know what's coming. I know all the adjectives that are going to be used to describe James von Brunn. And none of them are going to be the right one. None of them are going to be the correct one. None of them are going to be the fact-based one. I can't imagine as plugged in as the Horn audience, Horn family is, that you don't know what I'm talking about. I heard from News Ninja Susan, who sent me to a truly horrifying website earlier this afternoon, and sort of, whoo! See how easy it is to start? Yeah. I mean, what did Walt Whitman call those? Barbaric yawps. Yeah, I'm feeling kind of yawpy. Whoo! Because you know what's going to be said. Now, I got to admit, I was a little surprised. I was a little surprised at what came from the mouth of Shepard Smith on Fox News. You know, Fox has spent so much time. I mean, you've got the falafel boy out there, Bill O'Reilly, saying that he never called Dr. Tiller Dr. Killer when it exists on the tape. You can hear him call him Dr. Killer. There's a difference between the and the. They happen in different parts of the mouth. A speech pathologist could tell you exactly what they are. But being as I'm not a speech pathologist, I can't. But the one is, and it happens right behind the front teeth. with the tongue on the front end of the hard palate, and as in killer, happens back toward the soft palate with the back of the tongue. But never mind that. O'Reilly's out there saying that, you know, he didn't say it, and he says that he didn't say it because the doctored Fox transcripts, they, you know, conveniently changed it to Dr. Tiller. And there's been ongoing sort of damage control at Fox over Falafel Boy and the direct connection that he now has to two separate murders in two separate killing sprees in two separate churches in two separate summers. So I was a little shocked to hear this coming from Shepard Smith.
You know, we got this warning from Homeland Security, and at the time, I mean, the right went absolutely bonkers. I mean, the wording on it, I mean, they've all come back and said our wording should have been better on that. That was a little weird. But now, like Savannah Stover has just written me from Colorado, shame on you and Catherine Herridge for perpetrating the obscene Department of Homeland Security report on military extremists. Shame on you. This is a former military guy, and he's gone extremist. They were warning us for a reason, not about something political or social or anything else, except they see signs that this sort of thing is bubbling up. They saw the signs, and now it has begun. I just wonder if there's really a way to put a hold on it. Maybe sending out it's like when they used to raise the threat level in the United States. Oh, we've gone to code red. I'm like, so what does this make me do? You know, do I put double bolts on the lock when I go in and use the bathroom? You don't really change anything. But this warning, as it turns out, there was something to it. It was not obscene by the Department of Homeland Security, Savannah Stover in Colorado. It was a warning to us all, and it appears now that they were right.
And it was simply pointing out the possibilities. And that report had been requested a significant amount of time prior to its release. And you're right, it was incredibly emotive, again, by a small group of, I think, that came out and said, oh, my God, how can you? Well, all they're doing is what they're tasked with doing, examining all the various possibilities. And someone like Von Braun falls into a distinct possibility on the domestic side, and we have to be aware of that. But it's clearly an emotive subject. There's no doubt about that. It's just that, again, we have an issue in this country right now when it comes to national security. And there is a tendency for us to allow the events of the past, as difficult as that is to say, and some people say, well, we'll never forget 9/11. Well,
we will see
it in our attitudes towards increased security sometimes. Mm. I've sat, and I'm sure you've done the same thing. You're in line at the airport. People are complaining about security.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I can't believe I got to take my shoes off still.
Yeah.
Well, think back, and then you look at an incident like this.
Yeah.
But we're not now, just wait. I mean, I realize I'm quibbling over details here. We're not taking our shoes off because of what happened on September 11th. We're taking our shoes off because of Richard Reed, the shoe bomber. Remember, I referenced him a couple of nights ago. Go look for his mugshot. Yeah. We're taking our shoes off in airports because of that guy. Not because the box cutters that were used by the tourists on September the 11th were hidden in their shoes. No. But still, okay, overarching all of this, I call them like I see them, and I call them square. Kudos to Shepard Smith for saying, I imagine that guy's got, he must be angling for a new job away from Fox. That or he's the token guy who occasionally speaks sanity. I'm not, you know, they got Hannity, they got sanity in it. I don't know. But that line, it was a warning to us all. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And Jesus, you who share your time to participate in the programs on the horn, you know that I'm here, guys here, we're all here day in, day out, night in, night out, on the weekend. God knows Rick Goodner has sounded the alarm. We're screaming from the rooftops. They're dangerous, and they've got guns, and they mean to kill you. What do we get? Well, you know, you lefty liberals can't blame all conservatives. Simple fact of the matter is, being a so-called conservative makes it much more likely that you're going to behave in this fashion. Now, I got an email from Ben Birch here that begs sharing with you. Subject line, Holocaust Museum shooter was a Freeper. Literally, says Ben, and he's right. He was a member of FreeRepublic.com. Ben says, my comment on Freepers, and you may quote me, so I'm gonna. Oh, Freeptards are their own special sort of crazy. Distill all the paranoia of the John Birch Society. Inform it with the skewed worldview of Rush Limbaugh. And then season with white supremacism, militia weapon fetishes, and garnish with that delightful tang of inbreeding, and you have Freeperville. And he's right. He's spot on correct. They are armed, they are dangerous, they are filled with hate, and they mean you no good. And it's the randomness of it that makes it's the randomness of it that makes it domestic terrorism. They're killers, and they kill randomly. They mail anthrax to tabloid editors, for Christ's sakes. They shoot up church plays. They shoot ushers in Lutheran churches. They commit serial killings over the course of decades. But it's not fair for us to talk about that. No, that's not fair. But let's go on a little further with the Fox audio, because if nothing else, this is so damn rare. I mean, this is like that upside down airplane postage stamp. It's so rare.
No, but I do understand that, because some of the things they make us do are preposterous, and they later come back and say, "Eh, that was more to make you feel better. You don't have to do that anymore." But you're spot on. I want to talk to Heidi Bayrich, who's on the line with us. She's from the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Now, listen to this very carefully, and you'll see what it means, what I mean about being a little bit, you know, pissed off.
A nonprofit that sort of attacks hate and intolerance with education and the rest. Heidi, it's hard to in general terms speak of people like this, extremists who snap, but I know that's one of the things that folks like your organization are studying and trying to prevent people like this.
Got the meme yet? Extremists who snap.
This was slipping through the cracks. What sort of insight can you offer?
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. That is something we're extremely concerned about, and when people get sucked into neo-Nazi and other extremist ideologies, sometimes that is what happens, and they crack, and this guy has been involved.
And there's Heidi Bayrich from the Southern Poverty Law Center. They crack. You see what's going on here? Even a group as well-informed on what right-wing hate is all about has just been sucked into the meme. Oh, they crack.
In Holocaust denial and neo-Nazi thinking and racism since the 1970s, he's a prime candidate for sort of going off the rails, and unfortunately that's what happened here.
The Homeland Security...
Going off the rails, and that's what happened here. Yeah, keep working it.
Pretty warned us that there was... this was a time... when extremists might, homegrown style extremists like this man, they mentioned at the time with a military background, might begin going off.
Again, extremists.
Is this something that your organization has noticed, chronicled in any way?
Yeah, well, I mean, the truth is the Department of Homeland Security report got savaged, but they were on to something there. We've had several examples of domestic terrorism just in the last few months. We had a crazed cop killer in...
Crazed?
Pittsburgh who was motivated by racism and anti-government views, who killed three people in his front yard. We had a guy actually found with the components of a dirty bomb, according to the FBI, in January in Bangor, Maine, who had a whole bunch of anti-government beliefs. We've had two assassination plots against the president, one that was, you know, perpetrated by some skinheads. So we're seeing an uptick in domestic terrorism, unfortunately, right now.
Yeah. Smith goes on to say, there's these crazies out there. And blah, blah. And Heidi Beirich responds, Shepard, you're hitting the nail on the head. We're extremely concerned about these kinds of crazed conspiracies. Okay? Extremists, crazed, loonies, mom, dad, tell little Cindy and little Timmy to leave the room. Uncle Bob is going to use one of the fun words. Bullshit! They're not crazy! Not one of these people will be let off on an insanity plea in court. They are sane. And they made sane decisions to go out and commit murder in the name of their political ideology. Because their political ideology fosters this kind of murderous intent. Do you understand? Yes, you understand. I was about to. I'm sorry. But this ain't Chicken Little running around the barnyard screaming the sky is falling. This is the very real matter of trying to point out to a nation that is either indifferent or at best convinced that these people are crazed or extremists or loonies are actually... Look! I'll bet you a dollar to a donut. If you met James von Brunn, elderly octogenarian World War II veteran James von Brunn, if you met him at the post office, you'd think, what a kindly old man. And you might ask him how his dahlias were doing. And he might engage you in that. And you wouldn't have the first idea that lurking within his evil heart was murder most foul. And it lurks in the heart of conservatives all over this country. They mean you no good, and they have a murderous bent, and they have access to all the guns they could ever want to have. God Almighty, is it true that von Brunn did all this with a hunting rifle? A hunting rifle? You know why I did it with a hunting rifle, right? Because it's D.C. See, and I know, as sure as God made little green apples and they will give you a bellyache in the trots, I know that if it hasn't already happened sometime in the very near future, handgun as penis organization freaks will come out and say, see, nobody could have stopped that in D.C. That handgun ban didn't protect nobody. See, we don't need no gun ban. You can have a hunting rifle in D.C., and that's what he done it with. I hate the way that the right wing has taught my mind to operate. But you know it's true. Screw true. You know it's a fact.
Go look around. Give it 24 hours. But just check back every couple of hours and see how long it takes before someone references the D.C. handgun ban in regard to this murder. This right-wing murder by a man who was absolutely sane. God Almighty.
Heidi Beirich goes on to say, I'm really hoping we're not going to go through a repeat of that, meaning the anti-government militias that went absolutely crazier than a sprayed roach during the Clinton administration and ultimately gave us Timothy McVeigh and the bombing of the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City, who gave us Klebold and Harris and the attack on Columbine.
See, you and I have to talk this starkly. Because the other side is busy right now trying to come up with another excuse. How long will it be before somebody points out and says, wow, Betty was on prescription medication? Trust me, those were not 30 caliber Prozacs coming out the muzzle of that gun.
He was sane. If you take nothing else away from this story, know for a fact that he was sane. And they all are.
But they are sane and they have been weaponized, radicalized. Not usually, in most cases, not by some neo-Nazi literature. They've been weaponized and radicalized by Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and Michael Savage and Laura Ingraham and Neil Bortz and Gordon Liddy.
And yeah, Glenn Beck. Yes, oh Lord, yes. It is, in fact, prayer meeting Wednesday, so a reference to the New Bethel. It is new, yes, the New Bethel Church, and their Bring Your Gun to Church thingy bears mention. Yes. But for the love of God, every time you hear someone say, crazed, loony, blob, just think, no. They are sane. And they have been radicalized and weaponized for expressly the purpose that they are serving. They are out there to terrorize you and me. They are out there, because you see, as long as it's as random as it is, then your only real defense is to go silent and keep your thoughts and your political views to yourself. At best, that's your only hope. Don't go to the Unitarian Church. Don't go to the same church as a physician who takes attends to women's health issues. Stay away! Stay away! Because you never know which rally you go to, which protest you attend. You never know which one is going to have a James Von Brunn lurking, or a Roeder lurking, or an Adkisson lurking, or a Poplawski lurking in it, ready to lock, load, and kill. That, brothers and sisters, is how terrorism works. Honest to God, if it's been almost 8 years since September the 11th, 2001, and I still can't bring myself to walk around scared to the point of pissing myself over a 6-foot-7-inch Arab living in a cave in Pakistan with his portable dialysis machine. I just can't.
On the other hand, Sunday I go to get on a railroad train and I'm walking out of Wally World and there's a guy with a handle, one of the creepy ass mustache and the bumper stickers and he's got a gun on his hip! Now who's the threat?
You tell me. You tell me. I'm going to let my blood pressure go back down now by going to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, I don't know that I can do anything for your blood pressure, boy.
Ah, well, the calming, soothing tones of your voice itself, Kate, has been about 10 points on the systolic just now.
Well, let's go for 20.
Well, you don't want me melting into the floor or nothing.
No, I guess I've been relegated to I'm back in Arizona now, and I guess I've been relegated to a podcast person because I don't even know how to spell that. But I found my computer locks up, and I can't get the stream, and blah blah blah. And everything else on the computer works fine, except when I tried two or three other radio stations, and it does the same thing, plays a while, and then shuts off. And so anyway, but I went on the archives, and I figured out that I can listen in the morning to this show. Oh, God.
Because you need this in the morning.
Yeah, right. That'd be like listening to Malloy in the morning. Oh,
right. You know, a long, long time ago, Kate, David Letterman's first TV gig was a morning show, and it failed miserably. And it failed because, you know, it just don't work until the sun goes down.
No, you night flies, well, and then it's bad because I'm here on the desert in Arizona time, and this is essentially, it's Pacific daylight. I mean, I'm on the same time as Pacific because we don't change our clocks. Sean Ryan used to say, Arizona doesn't change their clocks, we're not afraid of the dark.
Well, you know, my favorite line about daylight savings time is that wonderful old American Indian comment. Only a white man would think that you could cut the top off a blanket and sew it on the bottom and have more blanket.
Yeah, there you go. But it's a little disconcerting to have you and Mike playing, and the sun is up at 3. It's 3:00 in the afternoon here. It's pretty awful. I'm so tired. I wanted to plug into something you were talking about yesterday. The detention center and the guy coming on American soil. Well, isn't Guantanamo American soil? Never mind. And we don't have them here because we've been breaking the law and not fair trials. I'm so tired of that fallacious Socratic reasoning, you know, that just there is a solution to having what they're going to do with the detainees, though. Hardin, Montana has built a brand new prison, and they want to take the detainees. And
them Montanans won't take no.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Poor Hardin, that's out on the Indian res, and.
And yeah, they've already received their daily dose of screwage, have they not?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So well. Yeah, I mean, they just thought it was going to be a big community job building, you know, lots of jobs for lots of people, and blah blah. Anyway, they were going to try to prisoners sold to them, and I don't know what's been happening with that. I just haven't been following it because it's tiresome. There are some things to be afraid of out there, though. As you were just saying, while I was waiting on hold. The police, it's gotten really weird out on the highway. I happened to be going from, I guess I was in Louisiana at the time. I went up to Tennessee to find some home dirt where my grandma twice great was born up in Greenville, Tennessee. And on the way back through, good news. I found Highlander Institute. That Miles Horton started.
Yes.
The social activist. God.
What a place.
2 hours with the director. She took me off and took me all around the place, and we set up in the house.
If you'd stayed much longer, you would have wound up with a job, Kate.
Well, let me finish the sentence. We sat in the rocking chairs in the big round room that in the house that Miles built, and he's all there. I mean, oh, God, my boy has not left. She said, oh, he's here all the time. Anyway, they need a librarian. And she said, but we don't have any money. And I said, but I don't want any money. So I put that on the back burner and told her I'd get back to her. But I just thought that would be a cool thing to do, is spend some considerable time in East Tennessee in the library at the Highlander. And, oh, my God, it's sacred ground. Oh, Jesus. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, when you think about Rosa Parks walking around there getting taught to sit the hell down.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't get up, sister. Don't get up.
Andy Young and Julian Bond. Oh, my God. And Martin. I mean, they are all there.
It is. It's sacred ground.
Yeah, it is. I just, oh, Jesus, it was, it's a little bit close to Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg, but those, are, I guess that's the name, it's a big old resort.
Yeah, but it's a million miles away by spirit and by...
By the time you get down the hill, yeah, I mean, by the time you get up the hill, you forget where, I mean, it's at Newmarket, Tennessee, and it's not in Newmarket, but by the time you find the road that turns left at the cattle pass and then go up the hill past the wrecked car and the used car junk lot and get on up top the hill, it's like, you forgot you were even in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Was wonderful.
And in many ways, you're not anymore.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So anyway, yeah, you're right. There is a job waiting there for me, so all I have to do is go show up, I guess. Anyway, so on my way back, oh, and I happened to stop then for the best grits and barbecue in Middle Tennessee. Oh, Jesus.
I bet I know where you went.
And some culture. Oh, Jesus, anything to get me out of this volunteer village, you know. And away from these Presbyterians,
bless their hearts.
Yeah.
Love their hearts.
God love them. Yeah, I went to work for the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance. Yeah, in my little blue shirts and lived in trailer houses and had put up with 7 to 90 Presbyterians at a time, and well, they weren't all, but you know, most were, and it was.
Well, you know, it bears some note in this being a prayer meeting Wednesday and all. Even Jesus didn't have to put up with Presbyterians.
No, and we know why. You know what king cakes are?
Oh yes, absolutely.
Well, I happened to get the baby in a king cake.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was just so pleased. Anyway, I didn't really want it, but it was there. That's, you got it, it's right there. Oh, God, anyway. So they said, well, it's baby Jesus. And I just looked at it for a minute, and plastic, bitty plastic toy thing. And I went over to somebody who I was really poking sticks at in a humorous way, but I was not really. I took the baby over and was looking at it, and I said to him, couldn't this be Jesus's baby sister? I said, his mouth dropped open a little bit.
Yeah, well, it just as well that you left alone that it's if you follow the mythology on down, that it's just as easy baby Mithras or baby Osiris. You know what I mean?
I didn't.
Presbyterians don't play that.
No, I didn't think they really want to go into that. Yeah, that was way too deep at supper time with 80 other people in the room. Oh, God. Anyway, on my way back down to the Gulf Coast, I got stopped by a police officer. No particular reason. It was in the middle of the night south of Meridian and just heading down on that whatever that freeway.
Well, there's your particular reason.
Yeah.
Nice white lady ought not be out such hours.
Wearing that short skirt. All right. Anyway, he followed me for a while, and in the opposite, he was in the median, and he whipped around, and he whipped out in the lane and paced me for about, I don't know, four minutes maybe in the left lane, and I just kept driving because I was only doing 60. That's all I ever do. And all my equipment works and blah, blah. So he fell in behind me and hit the lights, and I pulled over. He came up beside the truck, and I'm digging in the glove box for the insurance and the registration, and he said, when I finally asked him what the problem was, he said, well, your license frame covers up the state, the name of the state, and that's a misdemeanor in Mississippi. Well, it only half covers Arizona. It's a great big old cactus with the Grand Canyon state, so, you know, but you've got to consider cultural literacy.
Right, and you can't count on a peace officer in Mississippi to even know that where the Grand Canyon is, let alone.
That's what I'm saying. You got to consider cultural
cactus,
literacy.
Cactus? It's probably a Mexican lady.
I'm telling you, that's the point.
That's probably one of them Mexican illegal alien tags.
Was really, he seemed to be disappointed that I was white and female, but anyhow, and he also said you were got too close to the white, you were riding the white line or something. I said, what white line? And he shines his flashlight up on the fog line, and I said, well, I probably moved over to let you by. And he said, well, I'll let you go with a warning this time, but in the meantime, and he took my license and ran me in the computer, and he came back, and he said, have you got any excess amounts of, where have you been? And I told him, and he said, how long were you there? And I said, I don't know, 24 hours, 48, I don't know, just up there driving around and wanted to come home. Well, where are you going? I said, the Gulf Coast. And I said, I do volunteer Katrina relief, volunteer down there. They're still rebuilding down there? No, they're still working down there? Like, he didn't believe me, and I said, yes. And he said, well, when I was there, it looked pretty good. And I said, where were you? And he said, no, I said, where are you from, son? He was a pretty, pretty brother with a brand-new shiny uniform on and young and a sheriff's deputy in Jones County. And I said, where are you from? I was tired of that shit already. And I said, where are you from, son? And he said, well, right here. He said, I was just down in Gulfport, and it looked really good. And I said, that's because you were in the white neighborhoods. You go to Moss Point, it would be totally different. It ain't okay down there. Nothing's okay, not even in Gulfport. You were on the wrong streets. I thought, you know, just shoot me or something. I don't care. Oh, God, I got mad. And so he said, well, I'll let you go this time. Do you have excess cash? Excess amounts of cash? And I said, no. I just spent my last cash at the pilot station in Meridian.
And you're burning it now.
Yeah, right. And he says, well, how are you going to get home? And I said, I have enough gas. He said, do you have drugs or firearms? And I said, no. I don't pack, and I'm clean and sober 30 years. Any dead bodies back there? And I said, no, I'm fresh out of dead bodies. And he said, well, I'm going to let you go this time, but you just have a safe trip now and get that license plate fixed. It's a misdemeanor in Mississippi. And I thought, oh, man, if I...
God, he wanted you bad.
He did. He wanted me really bad, and I just wouldn't even play, and I just... But because what pissed me off, all the people who are listening.
No, that's okay.
It irritated me so badly was because some people came down from Canada to the village where I was working, and they had their tools and stuff. They'd been down two or three times, and so they knew what to bring, and they were coming down to rebuild, and they had tools and, you know, odd-looking clothes and stuff in their cars. There were two vehicles and probably five people. And the border guards in Canada, up in New York, asked them, you know, the routine questions, how long, and they said, we're going to Mississippi to do Katrina relief. And the guard said, the Border Patrol said, Katrina? The hurricane? That was 4 years ago. Step out of the car, please. And they stripped both cars.
Jesus God.
Dumbfounded. Not only that it's just getting strange out on the borders or the highways, but that it was that people don't even know. They don't even know.
No, it's forgotten. It's over.
Mm-hmm. We're done. That was 4 years. And then the man who from Jones County, that's just one county north of Jackson County, he just thought it looked okay down in Gulfport, so, you know, I must be doing something wrong out there. God, whatever. And I heard a fellow call in on, I guess it was maybe Malloy, a night or two ago, who was saying that he runs the New Mexico-Texas border delivering groceries and stuff, and he said the Border Patrol are out there and they hassle him all the damn time with those questions about how do you have excess cash, do you have, and they...
What's the, okay, I guess I'm just dumber than a post. What's the excess cash for?
Well, you're running drugs. And you got the, you delivered the drugs and got paid. And
yeah, I know, but I mean, how do you define excess?
That's kind of what I was going to ask the brother on the highway, but I thought, don't go there. Do you have any dead bodies in it? No, I said, no, I'm out of dead bodies, thank you. But anyway, it's getting...
Yeah, I guess that was no time to say, just left my last one at the pilot station.
Yeah, right, in the bathroom. In the boys' bathroom. The sucker should have left me alone.
You went in the boys' bathroom, ma'am? That's a felony in Mississippi.
You're under. Step out of the car. Oh, God. You said something a while ago about be careful. All I could think of after you finished the rant was... Yeah, and you don't put bumper stickers on. Oh, stay out of Unitarian churches and all that.
Yeah,
and you don't put bumper stickers. I haven't had a bumper sticker on my truck since the mid-90s, and it's too dangerous out there, just too dangerous. Cause,
you know, you mentioning that, Kate, it is not the first time that has come into my mind. Two vehicles now have had to have a fuel pump replaced. Now I've blamed it on Chrysler Motors because they both went out at about 80,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
But both vehicles had bumper stickers on them, said "I love mountains" or "Bring our troops home now." And you make me wonder. And I'm thinking maybe it might be a wise thing to take the stickers off.
Oh hell yes, especially back there where you live. Where you can get away with being, well, I don't even go there. Yeah, I mean, maybe
the best stealth approach is to get one of those, they can have my guns when they pry them from my cold dead fingers stickers.
Yeah, but why would you go around being disingenuous all your life? I mean, Jesus, get out of here. Just take the damn stickers off. Quit fighting it. It's just not worth it. I just, you know, talk about the land of the free and the home of the brave, and all men are created equal, especially if they have guns and they can. 89-year-old dude walking in.
What? And okay, you're an appropriate person to run these queries past.
Oh, you say query, not query. Oh, okay. Never. Go on.
I can't win. our buddy David in South Carolina, of our trio of Davids.
Yeah, how's he doing anyway? I'm missing all these people.
Muddling along.
Oh, good.
But he writes to me this evening, and he says, a man walking around downtown D.C. with a rifle didn't set off any alarms before he started shooting.
David, spot on. I wondered too. But he was 89 years old. Nobody could take him seriously.
Sure.
Probably,
But meanwhile, a white supremacist with a criminal record carrying a loaded rifle in downtown D.C., not suspicious, WTF, standing for what the...
Yep.
And then, of course, David drops the rock on me. Maybe if he'd lit up a doobie, they'd have nailed him.
He was 89 freaking years old. He's not going to light up no damn doobie. He's probably wearing his American Legion faded, moth-eaten...
No, but what he was wearing was, according to David, and I haven't checked this out, and he says he's not for sure, but he heard it, he was wearing a bright Confederate flag hat.
Well, that's... that's as good as his American Legion hat.
You know, driving a bright red car, you know, I got a buddy who used to refer... That beautiful shade of red that Porsche developed for its automobiles, they call it Guards Red.
Mm-hmm.
But my buddy refers to it as Arrest Me Red. Because they've done studies where the identical car in black, white, and red goes by the same cop,
mm-hmm.
all doing the same speed.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the red car.
Mm-hmm. I used to drive a red 69 GTO mm-hmm. in Alabama. With Washington plates on it.
And finally, David offers this sobering observation. I think the group he was with were probing to see how close in they could get.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just tired. I'm tired.
You got a right to be, and frankly, we've made good fun over the stop in Mississippi. But the fact of the matter is, Kate, you came closer than what you probably know to a real horror.
Oh, I knew that. That's why I was just thinking there's got to be a way out of this. I don't know whether I'm going to use feminine wiles or ignorance or deferential yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, or cry. You know, I wasn't quite sure. I just sort of opened my hands and let the goddess speak to me and say, how am I going to get out of this? Yeah, it was pretty awful. It could have been much, much worse, especially if I'd had brown skin.
Or even a good tan.
Yeah, on me, that would have been arrest me red.
Well, same here, you know, I'm the guy that burns under the refrigerator bulb, so.
Yeah, right. I'm not quite home from Louisiana yet because I didn't have any idea how much the living in that toxic crime scene had affected me, and I just I feel like I've been in a war zone, and I don't even go out in public, and I don't even go next door much. Georgia knows I'm home. I mean, I obviously went next door to say hi and pick up my mail, but I just don't even feel like associating with anybody. There, you know that commercial that's on the radio that says that somebody's talking to a returning soldier, and the little kid says, "Did you shoot anyone?" And maybe the wife says, "You're not any fun anymore. What's the matter? You never say anything. You never go out." I just got home, leave me alone thing. That's kind of how I'm feeling now, and I think, oh, God, that must be post-traumatic stress. Feel guilty because I left. And I feel even more guilty because I ain't going back. I ripped up all of my notes, all of my contacts, my business cards,
You're done.
I'm yet to empty my cell phone of names, but I'm way done. I can't go back. I wallowed in societal grief as a graduate project in the 90s, proving the hypothesis that this society is suffering a great deal of grief because we don't have monuments and memorials, and we don't do rituals to things that we're losing or that are past or that are dead, like gas stations, and they're tearing down the train station in Detroit, and you know, and then nobody's going to do a ceremony about that. You know, I mean, it's just, and so, and then with holistic systemic designing going around in my head, there's just so much that could be done but can't be done because the politicians are sitting on the money and.
Well, some they're not sitting on. Some they're giving away.
Well, yeah, they're putting it into the Gulf port, the new port down in Gulfport and that sort of thing. But the road home money is just a freaking farce. And Ray Nagin is running around in Hong Kong getting quarantined because one of his staffers has had flu symptoms.
What's Ray Nagin? I mean, okay, I'm not trying to be an answer. What was Ray Nagin doing in Hong Kong?
I have no idea. Somebody paid for his way, and actually, I can't say I'm being flipped. He could have been over there on the trade mission.
One of those trade mission things.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one that Neil Bush went on to Thailand that had hotels with built-in hookers.
Well, Ray took his wife, though, so that might.
Well, I mean, I'm not implying anything about Ray, but the trade missions.
Yes. I don't know. I have no idea why the boy was over there. But
honest to God, I think with the exception of going somewhere to see winter, if I lived in New Orleans, and New Orleans was normal again, why the hell would you ever go anywhere else?
New Orleans will never be normal again.
Well,
never.
That I know.
Ever, ever, ever. They should just put a big, we're done. Put a fork in us. It's not ever, ever.
Well,
I lived in the ninth and the lower ninth ward, and it's just never, ever, ever going to be. Never. I mean, it's just. Big gaping holes where the City, the buildings just washed away because of the force and the ferocity of the water that came through the levee when the barge blew through it. And, like, why was there a barge on the Industrial Canal when a Cat 3 even was coming through? The barge should have been taken out to sea or tied down better or whatever. There shouldn't have even been a barge in the Industrial Canal. But and to everybody I ever talked to in 9 or lower 9 said, oh, I just heard this big boom. And then the water, just in just a few minutes, the house just filled up with water. So the levees were blown. We all knew that. And it's just totally, and the water was so forceful that it just blew the stick houses, you know, the brick houses pretty much didn't sustain any damage except for being 25 feet of water in them. But they structurally, they were sound. But everything else that wasn't tied down or that was wood just blew, just like, you know, just like dumping a big bucket of water over a kid's play toy, you know, the sandbox, and you just, all everything just goes right to the other side of the box.
Right.
So it was it's just not ever gonna.
And this was not your first trip down that way.
Mm-mm.
But this,
well, it was my third winter on the Gulf Coast. It was my third trip through New Orleans, but my first trip working there.
So, what if I may ask, Kate? And I don't want to go anywhere. I don't have any business going. Given the gravity of everything you've said, what is it about this one that made you say that's it?
Oh, the powerlessness, the incompetent. I just can't stand. I can't stand around and watch incompetence and corruption and greed, and I know too much, and there's so many different ways things could be being done, and this is the overarching part. It's not even FEMA anymore. Bless their hearts. I mean, they're running in place trying to keep up, you know.
Running to stand still.
Yeah. Oh, I don't have any, I can't trash FEMA anymore because they're extending and doing their best, and they've got clients they can't even get to, and I was still working with elderly and disabled. That's who our clients were with, I know you hate that word, but that's what they were. With the PDA, that's the only people that we did rebuild for were the elderly and disabled, and they had to have their own materials as opposed to how it was in Mississippi. We'd try to find grants and money and stuff to get people's materials for them in Mississippi, but in New Orleans, the program that we were working with was the people had to have their own materials, and we go in and put the house back together again. Ineptly most of the time. I couldn't even go out on the work sites. I'm getting to the answer. I couldn't even go out on the work sites because the incompetent, you know, the volunteers were just not always competent, and they were hot and tired, and they were listless, and they were all excited, or they were depressed because they didn't know why they were depressed, and a lot of people didn't even know where they were at. They just got on the church bus and came down. One little old lady said to me, "Oh, tomorrow we're going to leave that Mrs. House and we're going to go out and see what Katrina did to the city."
And I thought, disaster tourism?
No, she just didn't like know where she was at. She just, "We're going to go see what Katrina did to the city." And I just thought, she doesn't know what she's doing here. She just got on the bus in the van. Oh God, I still don't quite understand that one. There's not so much disaster tourism anymore, but people are really, a lot of them are eager to find out, you know, to go see what the big, you know, they want to go take a tour of how bad it is and that sort of thing, because they kind of get in and they get stuck with their work supervisor and go to the house that they're assigned to, and they work.
So is that storied New Orleans culture of days gone by, is that just erased?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The French Quarter hasn't been the French Quarter for years.
Well, no, I understand that was, you know, that's sort of a lurid Disneyland. It even was when I was there in 84. But
yeah, but Frenchman, the street that's just about 10 blocks over from there is where it's, that's where it's hot, where the music is, and the Charmaine Neville plays every Monday night at the Snub Harbor, and, you know, it's, yeah, the Frenchman is where you go when you're not a tourist, but, the cultures, and to complete that thought that about why, what did it for me this time was, I just can't, spiritually and emotionally, I can't endure genocide and ethnic cleansing and racism anymore. I just, I know it's there. It'll be there when I go after I'm gone, and it was there before I got there, and I just don't have to participate in it. I just can't watch it anymore.
Well, when you're ready, and I'm not being facetious or light, but when you're ready for a good giggle over a couple of hundred pages, just go back to John Kennedy Toole's Confederacy of Dunces and let mm-hmm. your mind wash around in that New Orleans that was.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just a picture book of New Orleans. With
I've read that. But
I knew you had.
Yeah. Tennessee Williams stuff. Oh, God. Yeah, and all the...
I believe pyloric valve is acting up.
Got the vapors. Yeah, well, anyway, but my systems design mind just wouldn't... there's just so many things. If we could just come up, come on, you guys, just come and do this, and we can do that, and then if you just pick this up and put that up, and then we can get the scaffolding from that other house over there and get that, we can get this shit knocked out before tomorrow at noon. Come on, let's go. No, it's not. It's this red tape, bureaucracy, lethargic kind of, and then all the grandmas just sitting around waiting on their houses to get built, and we worked on one house for 9 months and whatever. And she's sat on the roof of her house with her two grandkids for however long, 2 days, 2 nights. One of them was 3 years old, and he's now 6. And Piyush Jindal is taking the children's treatment center out of New Orleans and putting it out in, Mandeville, I don't remember, whatever. It's 26 miles toll across the causeway, across the lake, and that's where you got to take your troubled children. And a lot of people don't have a bus out there, of course, and people ride the buses all the time. Buses and cable cars, I mean, the buses and the streetcars down in New Orleans are wonderful. Damn, I mean, people just ride the bus, you know, and they don't have to have a car. There ain't no place to park. So to move that youth treatment center out of town was probably the biggest blow that he could have done to the children. And it's ethnic cleansing, and it's genocide, and they just want those folks gone or dead or whatever. And I'm willing to be proven wrong, but you'll have to talk a long time. So, anyway, I was just done. I can't just stand around and watch incompetency when it could have been, it can be done so much differently and so much better. And not that I would do it better, but there's just.
But
so
it can
ways.
Be.
Yeah, there's so many other ways to get it done. So, I just decided before I turned in all my paperwork and stuff that I'm not coming back. And especially, no, I'm not. You know, I just. But Highlander is looking pretty good, so I'm thinking that.
Yeah, I think that could be a respectable use for your.
Mm-hmm.
Energies.
But it's East Tennessee. Oh, my God, they talk funny back there.
Oh, don't start.
Oh, I'm talking. East Tennessee talks different than anybody else I've ever.
Oh, dang it, Kate, you have not been. You have not been to Mingo County, West Virginia.
Okay, I'll give you that. Well, I don't know that I haven't. What town is there?
Not much. Williamson. Okay. Williamson.
No, I haven't.
Red Jacket.
Nope. No.
Matewan. Naugatuck. No, you ain't been there.
Matewan.
Yeah.
That's where the big strike was, isn't it?
No, that's where the big gun battle was.
Oh, is that where the women took over?
No.
Where was that?
Matewan, well, I don't have enough context to answer your question, but Matewan was where The gun battle that led to the murder of Two Guns at Hatfield, that led to the march on Logan, that wound up in the Battle of Blair Mountain. Everything started at May 1.
Okay.
That was when the Union organizers failed in their attempt to convince the pissed off West Virginia coal miners that shooting at the other side was not the answer.
Okay. I thought, what battle I'm talking, what little war I'm talking about, where the women all just said, okay, that's it. And they just went out with brooms and pans and guns and just stomped up the street and drove the old boys off. I thought that was at May 1. I mean, they didn't win. They won the battle, but they didn't win the war, obviously.
No, we never do.
Whatever. And I heard the good news going to town on Monday morning that the old crummy judge that wouldn't recuse himself was it. I mean, I heard the victory, and I went, "Oh yeah."
Yeah, and then that victory turned to ashes in our mouths yesterday. So.
Oh, it did.
Yeah. The Supreme Court ruled that the children, and I blathered on for about a half an hour last night, but the Supreme Court of West Virginia ruled that the school children at March Fork Elementary need a second coal silo next to them.
Oh Jesus. See, that's just, I am so tired. I don't know what to do with the rage and the anger and the I know too much. I connect too many dots. And don't tell me that Air France fell out of the air. Airbuses don't fall apart. Boeing planes fall apart. Airbuses, best thing in the air, they don't fall apart. Don't even go there. I mean, I just...
Well, I'm looking at a headline right now, Kate, that says, Black Box Could Solve Plane Crash Mystery.
How long, how come it took them how many days to get a submarine out to that site? I don't know. God.
Well, they were all patrolling off the coast of North Korea. What do you want?
Looking for terrorists. Yeah, God. Oh, Hunter S. Thompson, you said it's getting weirder and weirder. And then when it gets that weird, the weird.
When the going gets weird, the weird turn pro, and we shall travel on a road of bones.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm a pro at, but, oh, I'm just weird. So, anyway, it's way past, we've gone way, way, oh, God, this is boring.
Oh, who, it is not boring.
40 minutes.
There you go, playing program director again. Now,
40 minutes of one caller has got to be boring. People are wanting to get in on the line and talk about something else, and so y'all are talking.
I'll have you know, we have one of the nicest crowds in the chat room we have had in forever.
Really? That's
yeah.
Nice.
Huge,
nice.
Huge crowd.
Who's nicest? Oh, you mean they're not all nice. They're just, it's a big crowd.
It's yes, they are all nice. They'll run them off.
I bet I could pick out a couple that wouldn't be nice to me.
I've had to sit there typing away using the liberal call for a while. Don't be scaring off the chatters.
Okay.
Got to pop up out of the weeds and holler, save the whales.
Yeah, hey y'all in the chat room. I can't even get the stream, so until it goes in the archives tomorrow, so you know I can't get into chat. So anyway, I'm out of here. It's getting dark. It's already 4 minutes after two. I mean, 2 minutes after four.
It's something.
Yeah.
You something.
I brought home a couple of bottles of crystal. And a little bottles and a little bottle of...
Now, see, now that you're back in Arizona civilization, you're going to have to be careful when you say, I got a couple of bottles of crystal, because they're going to think you're talking about crystal.
Uh-huh. And I called somebody baby the other day, and I think baby, hey, baby, you know, or thanks, Orla. And I thought, oh, Jesus, I think I probably got to get...
Yeah, we're going to have to get you to a deprogramming camp in a hurry. Isn't that rehab ranch where Rush petted the horses? Isn't that out there in Arizona?
I know nothing about Rush, so I don't have.
Yeah, I think. Well, we may have to check you in to get you de-Southernified.
I don't know that I want that, but I do know that I'm going to have to be very, very careful when I get to Highlander. Not
get that delightful miasma of collard greens and brown and black-eyed peas off of you.
No, they're all in the refrigerator.
Brung some home, did you?
No, I stopped at the store up in Payson, up in the mountains, and bought my vegetables and stuff before I headed down the hill last Thursday, whatever, at about midnight, and because I knew I was going to miss the grocery stores down here, so I loaded up the got my refrigerator loaded up as soon as I got home with lots of vegetables and brown rice and yogurt, and I haven't eaten a biscuit since I've been home. I'm kind of missing them. I should shut up. I'm out of here.
Talk to you later, Kate. Don't hurt.
Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for making it.
Bye.
Bye. I wait all night for calls like these. So it's 5 minutes past 7 o'clock here on the East Coast, this Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. And you know what? Your calls are welcome, and we will talk as long as you got something to say. So don't ever feel like it. Heck no. So jump on in. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, Head On. Or on your own nickel, should you wish to save us a buck, assuming, of course, that you've got a long-distance dialing plan that doesn't hurt you, you can dial direct, 304-658-3333. Email rolls into Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is activist radio. This is The Horn.
Means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. On Tuesday, GM began sending out notices to salaried workers outlining reductions in benefits they can expect once they retire. According to a memo sent to workers by CEO Fritz Henderson, the changes will impact current salaried workers who will be retiring in the future. Dental, vision, and extended care coverage will be eliminated from the retiree health care plan for non-Medicare retirees. GM is also mailing out more early retirement offers to workers as the company seeks to slim its workforce. Workers have until July 24th to take the option, which for some workers includes a payout of up to $115,000 and a $25,000 vehicle voucher. This is the company's fourth buyout offer since 2006, and the last round from earlier this year saw 7,600 workers taking the offer. GM announced yesterday it would be cutting 887 jobs at a Wentzville, Missouri plant. The cuts will take place on August 10th and cut the plant's workforce in half. The job cuts will come after a plan to idle the plant starting this week until July 27th. New York State employee unions have reached a compromise with New York Governor David Paterson that could save the state $30 billion over 30 years. Under the compromise, future employees will contribute 3% of salaries to their pensions for the lifetime of their careers, and will additionally raise the retirement age from 55 to 62. Currently, workers only contribute to pensions for the first 10 years of their careers. Workers will now need to wait 10 years to be vested in the state's pension plan, instead of the current 5 years. The state will also offer 4,500 workers buyouts of $20,000, and end a plan to cut 8,700 jobs. The deal doesn't cover state workers in New York City, police officers, teachers, or firefighters. In Los Angeles on Tuesday morning, city workers protested in front of City Hall, expressing their outrage at proposed layoffs. According to a statement issued by a coalition of unions representing 22,000 city workers, the city council was being asked to abandon a short-sighted plan that would devastate city services. The council is seeking to initiate every other Friday unpaid furloughs, set to start on July 1st. Overall, there could be 26 furlough days and 1,600 job cuts, but according to the city, on Monday, 1,200 of those jobs being targeted are already vacant. Los Angeles is facing a $529 million budget shortfall.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Yes, we are, and just to let you know, in case you feel like something's missing from this Wednesday night prayer meet edition, I just didn't have the stomach to run the usual thing and do the usual shtick after this latest confirmation of the fact that the right wing in America is, in fact, at war with us. Meanwhile, kumbaya, you know. So that's why I didn't. A couple of observations. One of them coming from our buddy David in Tennessee. Subject line, semantics. Regarding my argument that these people aren't insane, regarding that they are sane when they choose to kill, as they so increasingly frequently do. David notes, regarding cracked, well, yeah, this most recent man did crack. Now, whatever morning when he decided to go to the Holocaust Memorial, no, that's not when he cracked. He cracked when he accepted the racist and bigoted views 40-plus years ago. It just took him 40 years to work out the details. Yeah. Yeah. I get that. Because it is cracked. It is evilly insane. The beliefs. But the conduct isn't. It is cold, calculated, rational, and intentional. Because, you see, if you go in for the idea that Von Braun was crazy, or Adkisson, or Poplawski, or any of the others, then by definition you have to say that the hordes that went mad on Kristallnacht in Germany so many years ago, that they were insane too. But we know damned good and well that they weren't. They were as sane as you and me. They were, however, weaponized and radicalized by a constant torrent of right-wing hate, just like these goons are. Right? Because the definition of crazy, and I will fall back on the expertise of porn psychotherapist Rick Goodner for this, to correct me if I'm wrong, but the definition of crazy does not include a German accent. If the violence is done by someone who speaks German, that does not somehow mean that that person is sane, but if English is spoken, that they're crazy. Frankly, the for-profit media could go a long way if they were willing, and of course they are not, could go a long way toward eliminating this stuff if they would stop talking about these murderers as being crazy or loonies or extremists. Oh, sure, they might be extremists to you and me, but they are as normal, they are as mainstream as the day is long within the confines of the right wing. Flush Flimball would give a big old hail fellow well met to James Von Braun in a that quick. On any given day, I assure you. I mean, for God's sakes, the right-wing bloviator, bigot, hate-monger, white supremacist, the ass that was taken down last week, whose name I've forgotten, but I remember being alerted to it by our friend Maura. That guy is a pal of Sean Hannity's. Hannity has spoken approvingly of him. They are what they are. And the sooner that we stop acting like that there's something aberrant about their behavior, instead of noting that their behavior is completely and wholly normal within the context of the worldview that they have had pumped into their hate, otherwise the predisposed to hate brains, broken brains, the sooner we... Look, you think that they're crazy at your peril. I know that they're sane. And if you want proof, just watch the court proceedings. See if they get off on a crazy. Because the Manhattan rule, which is the insanity defense rule in force in a lot of the country, is a standard that's mighty hard to reach. Adkisson, the shooter in Knoxville, not crazy, found legally sane, as were or will be most of the others. There's nothing crazy about Roeder. He had complete control of his faculties when he premeditated the murder of Dr. Tiller.
as did this old galoot, Von Brunn. I'd read you some of his screed. But I got a stomach for a lot. I got a cast iron gut, but I don't have the stomach for that. Because I already read over some of it, and I just thought, you know, Jesus, if I do this, I'll never get through the rest of the show. Our buddy David in South Carolina with another observation. If the shooter had been a Muslim, we'd all have to hide our shampoo and toothpaste bombs along with the Molotov mascara if we get near an airport or a museum. Yeah. Like I said the other night with regard to Roeder, they've won. They've won. They're not winning. They won. So have these shooters. So have these murderous right-wingers. They've won. Because we dare not talk about them as if they are sane and as if their conduct is the process of anything other than a diseased mind. The minds are not diseased. The mindset is. The minds, however, are not. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Alan.
I'm driving up I-77 in West Virginia.
Are you really?
To Charleston, yeah. When Kate was on, I couldn't hear all she was talking about, but it's pretty interesting.
No, she's fascinating.
Yeah. I just went by a billboard that said clean coal, carbon neutral coal, Walker Tractor Company or something.
Yeah, like Walker Machinery.
Yeah.
Still can't figure out why those billboards are still up, because that's a commercial ad. That's not some sort of PSA or anything. And that is false advertising, if such a concept exists anymore.
Mm-hmm. What is it with that tunnel? There's a tunnel between probably where you live up here in Charleston. You can see it from the interstate.
That's the old turnpike tunnel, Alan.
But what are they doing with this? It seems like there's storing stuff in there or something.
No. That is a fire and rescue training center now.
Oh, okay.
For things like tunnel fires or mine fires and things, they can better simulate, you know, how conditions are in those circumstances.
Okay, I just wondered because they have a lot of security fence around it.
Right. It's a secured facility.
Yeah. Hey, I got something. Idea that Kate might want to do when she goes up north and then she wants to go back down to the south,
mm-hmm.
is when she's in a state where they do not have a tax on food, buy up a lot of food in that state. So that makes a big difference when you buy like $100 worth of food, don't have to pay any taxes.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah, that's $6 you're not paying. And, I don't know, is there such a thing as bootleg food? I know you can't carry untaxed booze across state lines, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, that would have been just another question for the sheriff's deputy in Mississippi to ask, ma'am, do you have any untaxed food in your vehicle?
All I have on my bumper is a Bio Willie diesel fuel tag. And I think that's got a lot of policemen like follow me for a long time.
Oh, that's enough to mark you as a liberal.
Yeah. And for the last time I was at my house in Birmingham, my father gave me a fraternal order of police ticket, like a brand new one, 2009. And it seems like they're a little nicer to me now.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you have to pay them off to not bother you.
Well, you know, I don't know if it'll keep them all the way off of you, but maybe it lessens the frequency a little bit.
Yeah, I think so, because they don't follow it as much. And then I had one even wave to me one time. So maybe it does make a difference. Also, when I'm driving around the country, and this has been, since I started driving 9 years ago or so, I see policemen. Like, there'll be two or three police cars behind a civilian car, and they'll be just tearing that car all to pieces.
Oh, yeah.
They're checking them out. And the occupants of the car will be, like, standing out in the grass somewhere. So I figure they don't have any charges against them, or they'll be in the back of the police car. So I get the feeling we're living in a police state.
Sure feels like it sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So you're on your way to Charleston?
No, I'm on the way to Detroit, Michigan. I just had a turnaround from Indiana. I went down to Charlotte, North Carolina. Going right back up. I feel like a ping pong ball going across.
Oh, I see. So you're going to go through what? You're just going to go through Charleston and keep going up 77? Or are you going to pick up 79?
Well, my GPS has got me going up 77 a little bit past Charleston and catch Highway 33 and go across Ohio. I've been that way before, I think.
Well, yeah, 33 is kind of a U.S. 33 is two-lane affair, but maybe it cuts off some time. Usually it's a choice between mileage and time.
Mm-hmm. I know. Usually time is what I'm looking for.
Well, yeah, I can well imagine. I wonder if you could do just as well going straight on up 77 into Ohio and catching 70 and then going to Detroit that way.
Probably so. Or take 64 across and catch 75 and go up.
Yeah, that'd do the same thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, might be quicker to go that way. I've gone that way a lot of times.
Tallulah riding along with you?
Yeah, Tallulah's over there sleeping. we drove all night last night.
I think you're right on the verge of a John Steinbeck novel.
Yeah, I should start writing.
Well, you really should. You really should. You see a lot of this country that the rest of us don't see, Alan.
Yeah, that's right. I do write some. I'm looking at the Charleston. The state capitol building right now.
One of the prettiest, one of the most beautiful state capitals in the country, until you realize the manifest wickedness that goes on there.
Same with the White House. They recently did the roof of it a few years ago, didn't they?
Yeah. It's they redid the gold.
Was it copper up there?
No, that's gold.
Real gold?
Poorest state in the union, and that dome is gold.
Turn gold. Costs so much now, I'm surprised you don't have people climbing up it.
Well, you know, for years back in the 70s, it was painted. It was painted white and blue. But then we went back to the gold because it was felt that that would give West Virginians a better sense of feel better about themselves. Yeah, I'd feel better about being in West Virginia if they just stopped blowing up my home, you know.
Yeah.
But we got gold on the dome instead.
You're making some people rich. You were just talking about, like, there's a war against the liberals by conservatives, and then I was thinking there's a war against the working class by the by the wealthy class, the investor class, and the conservatives who shoot at abortion doctors. They don't know what they're doing. The conservatives on the poor, lower income. Conservatives, they're just...
Well, a good buddy of mine had a great description for them. Low-income conservatives are what he called cannon fodder for the culture wars.
Uh-huh.
And I think he was right.
Yeah, they make me think of the people who were before communism living in this country. I mean, they're just that far off back in the Soviet... Back in the Cold War.
Yeah, exactly. You know the mindset.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful day out here. Since the rain, it's nice and clear.
Oh, it is. It's gotten real pretty. It was real gray earlier, but the sun is coming out, even up here on the mountain. The sun's come out in a big way. Looks like a pretty little evening.
Well, I better let you get to the next caller, and I've run out of things to say, but I enjoy listening to you. I'm going to try to get you back on the line again.
All right, sounds good. You take care, Alan.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, bye now. Crisscrossing the continent
That's our buddy Alan out on the open road. Who you know, just in the way he listens to the horn, is sort of showing the way to the future. Alan doesn't listen to any for-profit radio. Alan doesn't listen to terrestrial radio. Alan listens to the horn. Wirelessly. Kind of nifty, huh? Maybe even, dare I say it, subversive? Let's keep it rolling. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
Brother Luke, how are you?
Well, you got the sunshine. I got the storm down here.
It'll pass. It'll pass.
I know. Let's see what you just said just before you came on. It's like we say, right-wingers want to have AM radio. They're welcome to it. We'll take the Internet and be much happier.
And I think we've got that means we'll have the future sewed up, too.
That's what I mean. But, you know, isn't it amazing? I was sitting here. I've been watching different channels, seeing them coverage. And they really put up the was watching Woodford Bits up, and he was running the reading the comment out of the report, you know, about right-wing extremists. And amazingly enough, that was just 2 months ago. Isn't it amazing? I'm one of those people who, for that about 2 weeks afterwards, just absolutely ripped that up and down. Let's see now, how many have we got now? We've had Dr. Tiller killed by Raider or Roeder.
Roeder, yeah.
We've had the soldier killed there at the recruiting station. Now we've had the guard killed here at the museum. And apparently this guy was known. I mean, apparently this guy got arrested back in the 80s.
I do believe.
And you're sitting there going, how did he get a gun? If this is a man who apparently attacked the Federal Reserve at one time, wouldn't that put him on one of them lists sort of like, no, ever again?
You'd almost think so, wouldn't you?
You know what I mean? It's one of those things. I'm sorry, you tried to, you know, it's like, well, you tried to, you know, shoot a senator. Okay, after 8 years, you get a chance to get a gun again. Isn't that nice? You know, something along those lines. I'm sitting there going, huh?
It does rather it defies reason, doesn't it?
Of course, you know how it is. The NRA, the boys of the NRA, we're about to get the guns and bars law, which is just going to be welcome to Dodge City on a Saturday night.
Great heavenly days.
It's like saying this is like the old days up in Harlan, Kentucky. You know, a murder a night or something's wrong. You know. But it's just amazing some of this stuff now. So now what they've got is some of the storekeepers are coming out saying that they're going to put up the signs, you know, no guns allowed. So you may have the right to carry a gun, but we as proprietors have the right to say you can't carry one in here. And I'm just waiting to hear.
Yeah, unless it's in Florida.
Yeah, I'm just waiting to hear the NRA just go ballistic on that. It's like, how dare you tell it where we carry a gun?
That's our God-given right.
You know, what's amazing to me, how every time they want to mention the word, the things about the Second Amendment, I'm still waiting to hear one time one of them mention that word militia. You know, every time they mention
Well, but the right wing can't, because that garners all kinds of memories of places like Ruby Ridge and, well, you know.
But you know what I mean? It's amazing, though. As, you know, we've talked about this before. It's amazing how Scalia and all these others are like, well, we have to be strict constitutionalists. Except for the Second Amendment's concerned. We can read that any damn way we want to.
Darn straight.
That part about for a militia, well, we don't worry about that part of it. Like I say, because that's just so 18th century. You know how it is. We don't bring that up. Oh, I sent you the thing. How did you like the Colbert thing on the Don't Ask?
Oh, I thought that was quite cute. And you know, he looks good with one of those little skinhead cuts the military's
that was
so good.
Fun watching. Oh, it is, I tell you. If anybody hasn't watched that, they need to go over and watch that. Because, you know, he knows what he's doing. I mean, oh, lordy be. But, yeah, I mean, it's just playing it to the hilt. But he had an actually, that was actually a pretty good discussion.
Well, it was. And it was, you know, it was tailored for that audience that he was playing to.
The audience you're sitting there in front of. But, no, like I say, the interesting thing I think is going to be to watch for the next 24 hours. Just watch it by tomorrow afternoon how the mainstream media is going to retwist this. You know what I mean? Like I say, right now everybody's in shock. But I'm sure by tomorrow the NRA will be standing out in front of everybody going, you can't do anything about guns. No!
Well, that's why I said, you know, I give it a day before somebody says that this proves that D.C. didn't have any business with a handgun ban.
You know, it's like
of course, the way I argue it is if you can't stop a guy with a long gun walking through D.C.,
how are you going to stop somebody with a 22 in his pocket?
Bingo! But then again, I'm a crazy liberal, so there you go.
But, you know, it's like you said. You know, it's like the thing here with Atkinson. You know, Atkinson wrote letters, said exactly what he was planning to do. And the same thing with Von Munt, or whatever it was, Brown, excuse me, I apologize, can't think what the name is right now.
James Von Brunn.
Brunn, sorry. And, you know, it's like the one last week with Raider. You know, they didn't come out of the house just start shooting people. But, you know, Atkinson put his gun in a guitar case so that people wouldn't recognize what it was. And I'm sure that Raider, you know, hid his in his car.
You know, because them liberals are forever playing them guitars in church and all.
Well, and I'm sure we're going to find out that I'm sure, like I say, that Von Brunt, he didn't just walk up there, you know, holding the gun, you know, like the Minutemen. I'm sure he had it stuck in something, probably, you know, like the old days, stick it in the golf bag or whatever, you know what I mean, so nobody saw him coming with it. Yeah, like you say, you know, you can't. Apparently, where this place is, you take a long walk till you have to get there. It's like, I'm sorry, if I see somebody running with carrying a, I don't know what it was, say a .30-06, I lock the doors. You know, I pull down the grill, whatever it is, because if I can see him from a distance, I ain't letting him in, and I ain't gonna be anywhere where he can shoot me. But like you say, they had all of these fellows had to think it out. They already had it planned. So, like you say, this ain't saying I went crazy. No, 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 no. You know, road rage is going crazy. You know, something along those lines. But, I mean, this is something where they had to think about it, had to get the gun, get the bullets, get it all together, and take it with them. So.
Yeah, that's caught. Let's see. What's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, premeditation.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, this wasn't something that was just a snap of the finger. And, oh, by the way, I've got a gun in my hand. Yeah, I'll start shooting people. Like I say, they had to think it out, how to get the gun to where they were going with the ammunition and ready to go. But, you know, like I say, I'm just curious to see, you know, like I say, in the next 24 hours, how this is going to be twisted like a pretzel. I'm sure already, you know, like I say, like we were talking, like I just said a minute ago, that, you know, some people are going to start bringing up the report from 2 months ago about the right-wing extremists. And I'm sure that everybody on the mainstream media will kill that 10 seconds after somebody brings it up. How dare you try talking about that?
Exactly.
What makes you think this man was an extremist? Well, here, look at his writings. You know, here's a guy who once attacked the Federal Reserve. I don't know. Somehow I just don't exactly call him a shrinking violet.
No, not me either.
But like I say, it's just going to be interesting to watch. Like I say, I'm not going to watch Fox News, but I will for the next couple of days pay extra careful attention to news hounds and media matters.
Probably wise.
Do great work and sacrifice the brain cells they have to watch that and see how because that's going to be a pretzel or taffy pull over there watching them take the words and reshape them.
Oh, doubtless.
And like I say, they were talking on one of the things tonight, talking about, I think it was Darren Wolf's thing, where he was talking, you know, that they talked to, not right then, but they talked to security people over the last few months, how since Obama's been elected, how the right-wing extremists apparently are throwing coal oil on the fire, building it up nice and slow, but it's building. You know, it's... Oh, God, you know what I mean? It's one of those things that we just sit around down here, and unfortunately, we've seen it before, you know what I mean, at different levels, but it's just interesting to see how this is stoking itself up bit by bit. And, you know, you just wonder, right now these have all been individuals, but you got to wonder when you're going to get one of the groups that's going to do something. You know, when one of the Branch Davidian-type groups or something like that's going to just decide today's the day, let's just start shooting people.
And you don't know. That's the thing. That's the very essence, Luke, of terrorism.
Well, and the thing is, you know what? I remember during the past, we had all these stories where the FBI and the police were sneaking people into groups of Quakers and into the, what was it, I guess into the Sierra Club and all these other groups to weed out those left-wing terrorists. So I'm just curious how many of the FBI people are infiltrating the NRA and how many of them are infiltrating all some of these other groups, some of these white supremacy groups. So it's going to be interesting down, we aren't going to know right now, but it'll be interesting in a few years just to find out how many people they actually have got into other groups, if they've even bothered. So we'll just have to keep an eye on some of this, but, oh, Lordy, I tell you, it's just, like you say, it just wears you out when you sit there and just watch it, you know what I mean? You're just sitting there going, no, they can't be doing something that stupid. It's like, oh, yeah, they can. Anytime you think they can't go far enough, they'll go further.
Right, exactly. And, you know, how do you respond to it? Honest to God, how do you respond to it?
I know. Well, I mean, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, it's like we said, this is why we believe, you know, there is a right to bear arms, but there's also a right, you know, you have a right to a car, but you also, you know, I think to own a car, but you also have to have a license, registration, and all this other stuff. So, you know, you have a gun, and that's fine, but you have to register it. I think they ought to take the, what do you want to call it, the, they ought to have you fire a couple of slugs so they can have the bullet on standby. And so,
well, there's an idea.
Yes, they can tie it to you. Well, you remember what was it? God, this is probably 10, 12 years ago. Remember when they wanted to put those little microscopic markers in gunpowder so in case somebody blew something up, they could track it back to the exact group that it was sold from? And the right wingers just absolutely had a fit over that. How dare you want to track these people? And it wasn't anything that was going to change, you know, the potency or whatever of the explosive, but it was just a tracking agent that they were going to put into it, and the right wing just absolutely just had a hissy fit over it. So it's because they knew what that was going to mean. Well, if somebody blew up something, they were going to be able to track back to who bought it. Oh, no, can't have that. But I tell you what, Bob, it's one of these nights I'm just going to sit back and listen, because I tell you what, I want to say, just you get to a point, you just don't know what else to say on some of this.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's it leaves me kind of speechless, too.
Like I say, we can say we're sorry for the gentleman who died, the guard, you know what I mean, and his family. But you know what I mean? It's just one of those things that I'm sorry it happens, but it happens, unfortunately. Somebody, you know, that's the police, and he, I know he's just security, but I mean, it's the same thing as the police, you know, that he was there to protect, and he knew he was there to protect, and I'm sorry he died, and you just feel so sorry, you know, for the families.
Yeah.
And you just wish that somebody had taken precautions that would have got this guy off the street before it had happened.
Well, and it's not like that was impossible in the first place.
Oh, no. Like we said, you know, at the start, if this guy attacked the Federal Reserve, this guy should have been on a bunch of whole domestic watch lists. You know, when this guy does certain things, there should have been flags popping up saying, look, that Von Braun's doing this. If he just went out and bought 20 boxes of ammo, guess why?
Yeah, what could he possibly want with that?
You know, it's like they say, you know, well, I love these right wingers. We have the right to have armor-piercing weapon. I said, and my opinion on that is fine. You show me a deer wearing a flak vest, we'll talk. Until then, we won't.
Well, that's why I enjoy pheasant hunting. You know, as far as hunting goes, birds got a chance.
I mean, I'm squirrel hunting.
I mean, unless it's like Dick Cheney.
Birds with clipped wings. You know, isn't it amazing? You know, I'm just waiting for one of them to start saying, well, certain people have sitting there going, I just want to tell them something. You know, I still want somebody to explain to me why we couldn't have a breathalyzer test for Dick Cheney for 48 hours. You know, with some of these others.
Well, because I don't know. I could be a smartass and say that that's because blood doesn't show up on a breathalyzer, but.
But you know what I mean? It's sort of like, isn't it amazing how the Secret Service, when it was Clinton, well, we have to uphold the rule of law and testify about what we saw. When it's Cheney, it's, well, we can't let the police in here to give him a breathalyzer test because they might find out he was skunk drunk when he shot his friend in the face. you know, we can't let you all arrest the Bush twins because they're out underage drinking. In fact, we forced some of the bar owners to serve them even though they knew they were underage drinking. It's amazing how the law works for some people and doesn't work for others.
Magic that way, isn't it?
I know. Well, let me let you go on, but there's other people need to talk tonight.
All right. Take care, Luke.
All right, you too.
Talk to you later. Bye. Our buddy Luke from the hills of East Tennessee and rolling onward. Hey, welcome
hey,
to the program. Hey, Juanita.
First of all, I'd like to say I'm really glad to have heard from Kate.
Yeah, it's been a long time, hasn't it?
Been a long time since I heard. Yeah, I've heard her, and God bless her heart. You know, isn't it just the way it is that people that want to do the right thing, they just get cut asunder, and, you know, it's just bad.
It is. It is indeed.
I think about Vincent van Gogh, you know, and I love that song about, and they could not love you though your love was true. You know, they didn't know what they had.
Right.
When they had it. And that just happens so often. That's why we lose people like JFK and his brother RFK and Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, people that want to do something for somebody, truly want to do to make people's lives better. And I love the way that she talked to the cop. I bet he didn't know what in the world to think.
Oh, he'll probably be telling. That's one of the, another one of those people that, you know, every now and then you can make somebody's life. You turn into a story that gets told around the Thanksgiving dinner table, and I got a feeling that the Officer Friendly got one of those out of Kate.
Yeah, and I wanted to apologize too. I know the other day that I was calling Robert, what's his name? I couldn't think of it. I don't know when I'm talking. Sometimes I forget people's names, and I wanted to apologize for the way I said it. It didn't sound right. I said, what's his name? But I was agreeing with him.
No, I understand that. Absolutely.
Anyway, we're talking about the man that the 89-year-old cracking.
or not, I mean.
I say, I've been saying this for quite a while, and I think I have a right to say it, that it's an insult to truly insane people to call people like that insane.
Yes.
Because I are one. I was born that way. And I don't like it when they call somebody like him insane or he cracked. He knew exactly what he was doing. He's just full of hate. Full of hate and ignorance.
Yeah, and hate's almost too weak a word, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a combination of a lot of things. I don't know. We've got a big bunch of those people down here, you know, organized. And they'll say, I hate them. I hate them. I hate this. I hate that. What in the world? What kind of life are you living? What kind of life is that for somebody to live with that kind of a feeling?
It's poison. It's a toxic life.
Yeah, and then somebody, 89 years old, man, get ready to meet your maker if you...
Well, see, now the guard that he shot has passed away, has died, has been murdered.
Yeah.
But the last listing I saw showed that Von Brunn is in, critical or serious condition or some such.
The man?
The shooter, yeah.
Yeah.
The evil, hate-filled monster.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were ever a fan of watching MASH.
Oh, yeah, I used to love that.
Well, do you remember that episode where the wounded guy came in and it turned out he was a racist?
A racist or a rapist?
A racist, R-A-C-I-S-T.
Yes. I probably did refresh my memory.
And they painted him up with while he was out, they painted him up with iodine to darken him a little bit, and then explained to him that they'd had to use some of black blood for his transfusion. And I think that would be appropriate. I want Mr. Von Brunn to live. And based on the nature of his writings, when he starts coming around and he's really good and conscious, say, now listen, we saved your life.
Mm-hmm.
But it was at some cost. Because, we're always hard up for blood donations. And
yeah.
The blood bank here in the hospital was a little bit low. And, well, I'm afraid you've got a few pints of Jewish blood flowing in your veins now.
Yeah.
And then watch that old dude stroke out.
Kind of like Archie Bunker. You got black blood.
Yeah. And just watch him turn purple and drop dead.
Yeah. And the thing is, probably the person who saved his life or had a hand in it, at least one of them was black.
Yeah, or a Muslim, or any, Jewish doctor, Muslim doctor, African American doctor, sure.
I have Muslim doctors.
Even if the surgeon wasn't Jewish, because that was the obvious nature of his attack, the Holocaust memorial, he doesn't believe it happened and all of that stuff. Even if the surgeon was not Jewish, you need to get a guy who's willing to pretend when he comes and does his rounds.
Willing to what?
Pretend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Walk in with a yarmulke on the back of his head and maybe the little shawl and everything.
Yeah.
And say, I'm the surgeon who saved your life. And again, just watch the dude stroke out.
Yeah.
Save the cost of a trial. All the hassles of all the hassle, because that was federal property, so that means, wasn't it federal property? So that would, if it's federal property, that would trigger the federal death penalty. So save the cost of a trial, all the appeals that go with an execution. Right. Of course.
I don't know if that's all, what it was or not. I don't know if that's government. But, he was bold to walk in. What? They said he had a cigar case? A guitar case?
No. That was the guy in Knoxville. Brought his gun in a guitar case.
In where?
Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh, well, this guy just took that gun in.
He was apparently walking around D.C. with a long gun. Nothing to be suspicious about, because if you question a man walking around openly with a firearm in Washington D.C., you might be infringing on his Second Amendment rights.
Yeah. Well. And they're trying to buy that clinic that they shut down.
Yes, I saw that. It was on the list. You are absolutely right.
Yes, that'll be there. Well, Bob. The world's going to be a better place because they killed the doctor, and they're no longer going to practice there. So that made the world a better place for all of us, Bob.
Monsters. The Kansas City Star is reporting, Juanita, and this is a quote from the KC Star article. Operation Rescue President Troy Newman said that this is the guy who yesterday called it a bittersweet situation.
Yeah, I heard that.
Operation Rescue President Troy Newman said that his group has discussed the idea of buying the Tan Windowless Clinic in East Wichita. He made the comment after the Tiller family announced that the clinic would be closed permanently.
Well, what
quote,
is their point?
Quote,
for like a...
Well, I don't know, but this is what he said. I would love to make an offer on that abortion clinic, and that's some of the discussion that we're having.
Yeah, probably.
Now, their headquarters is in Wichita.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they can't seem to make a connection between the shooter and that group? I go back to what was said last night, Juanita. I really think that we need to waterboard, since it isn't torture, we need to waterboard Mr. Roeder.
I think Dick Cheney ought to put the order in, because he's the one who knows how to get the information. He's the expert. He knows what they should do to get the information.
Right.
I mean, his daughter said that.
Absolutely.
And look what a sweet young blonde she is.
Oh, isn't she?
But anyway, one more thing I found kind of interesting and ironic, and maybe you saw this article. This is about the wall, our Chinese wall. No, the wall between us and Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about that? It's drowning in a bunch of, you know, they were going to put it through a lot of people's yards, except, of course, you know, the big shots. And
right.
It's drowning in a sea of lawsuits. It's just there. They can't go ahead with it. I just think that's so ironic. You know, we need somebody, Kate's on the job. We need Kate some authority.
Well, you know, I have a feeling some things would get fixed if that was the case.
That's what I'm talking about. That's why I say that. You know, I mean, these people, they don't think. They leap before they think.
Well, some of this, Juanita, is the fact that these bureaucracies that came in to try to solve problems that came with Katrina, lo these years later, bureaucracies like that are not really suited to solving problems on a scale like this. You know, it works, you know, if you got all, you know, maybe four or five families, maybe, you know, 100 families, homes wiped out by a tornado. That's manageable scale. But a bureaucracy that slows things down does not make anything better where you've got a disaster on a region-wide scale. At least
no,
that's my read.
No, and a lot of it is, I believe, is on purpose, too. Like she said, it's not going to be the same. And that's the way they want it. That's the way the powers that be want it. Because the Democrats may be in charge now, but the ruling class is still there. They haven't gone away.
No, they haven't. And for every half measure that gets taken by the current administration, and this is not goon on the Obama administration night, but for every one of these half measures that gets taken, Juanita, it becomes a little bit more likely that the problems that were foisted on us in the last 8 years will remain.
Yeah, right. That's right. And, you know, I don't know. We'll just have to see, I guess. It's always we the people, we get the short end of the stick.
Maybe it ought to be we the short end of the stick. We the short straw.
Maybe so, yeah. Well, anyway, I was really glad to hear. I hadn't heard Susan say anything about her husband. Did he get all right?
I'll bet you I'll get an email. I know
it's kind of late to ask that, but sometimes when I call, I forget things. And
well, she's in the chat room, so she's probably hearing this now, so
yeah,
we'll find
okay.
out for sure. But from what she said, you know, when Donald makes up his mind, he's going home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I miss your youngin'.
Well, yeah, he's out and about this evening.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I want to tell you something I heard on the internet. You know, Mark Maron has got Sam Cedar, they got a little show that comes on Air America.
Right, right, yeah. Isn't that the break room or something? Yeah.
Yeah, and I was watching it today, and he was talking about the shooting, you know. And he started reading this article, and he said, this just sounds weird. And he said that the man that the shooter at the 89-year-old had been in prison before for some kind of action he had done. I don't know what it was exactly, but and he said that he was just reading, you know, from what he had gotten. He said he was found guilty by a jury of NEGROS. He was prosecuted by a Jew prosecutor and found guilty by a Jew and punished by a Jew judge. And he said, something's not right here. And he was actually reading from, he looked and then it was from the place where this guy was a member.
And it Stormfront.
Yeah.
Or maybe Free Republic.
I don't know. It was, I think it was more neo-Nazi than it was Ku Klux Klan, which, of course, I know there's not a whole lot of
difference. Yeah, he was a sure enough neo-Nazi.
Yeah, yeah. But he was reading it. It was kind of, he said, well, say things like this now. And so that was what it was from. Yeah, they do.
And see, that's why I didn't want to read from it. It was just...
you had read it.
I did read some of it, and it was sickening.
Yeah.
And
well, that's all he read. I don't know if there was any more to it, but when he saw where it was from, then he said, oh, no, I'm going to read any more of that.
Oh, and by the way, Susan just dropped a little message into the chat room. She says, hubby is home and fine.
Good.
So, mighty nice of you to ask.
Well... do get to care about people, you know.
Well, yeah, you really do. You really
yeah, do.
And, you know, frankly...
I mean, we're for real. We're not... We're
yeah,
really
well, look, I mean, I got a note. You may remember our buddy Andy in Wales?
I haven't heard from him in a long time.
Right, and I got a note from him on Facebook the other day saying, we're okay, just you know, screwed up internet and...
yeah.
That kind of stuff, but he said he and Hazel are doing okay. So,
good.
I'm glad you sort of tickled my memory on that because
yeah,
I wanted to pass that along.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Yeah, Cossack in the chat room just posted. This is a quote from the news story. Von Brunn walked into the Federal Reserve in 1981 with a handgun and sawed-off shotgun. He wanted to take Federal Reserve members hostage over high interest rates.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be 1981. That would be the beginning of the Reagan administration.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he got 6.5 years in prison for it.
Yeah.
That's it.
That was what it was about.
I mean, you realize that there are cannabis criminals in prison for longer than that?
Oh, yeah. Though there are women that just had a boyfriend that was dealing in drugs, and maybe they took a phone call, and they get like 20 years.
Yep, you're an accessory.
In some places. Clinton, he pardoned some of those women that were in for that. And, it's just ridiculous. It ruins their families and everything. And most of them don't know what's going on. I mean, you can get in trouble so easy, and it's mainly over that, and that's just so ridiculous.
Well, it remains to be seen. I'm curious because this guy's got stuff that sort of speaks for him. Can you imagine for a minute? Can you imagine if the Obama Justice Department, if as I surmise, this is a federal crime? Can you imagine if the Obama Justice Department announced that it was going to pursue the federal death penalty for this man? Can you imagine the hopping up and down and squealing and squalling and self-righteous fury that would flow out of the right wing over it?
Well, anybody that, you know, it goes on and on and on about somebody, what they put on their hamburger.
Lord, yeah.
I mean,
that elitist mustard.
That would just delight them to have something.
You know what? I got me a little squeeze bottle of some of that elitist mustard, but I got it Kroger brand, so I didn't feel so bad about it.
I saw a picture of him and Joe Biden sitting at the table there, and they had like a little basket and had all kind of condiments in there for your hamburger, including the Dijon mustard. So these people have never heard of putting anything on their hamburgers.
Mercy. But I got to recommend it to you. I got some of that horseradish mustard. Woo! You could just eat it on a cracker. It's dip. It's so good.
I'll have to try that sometime. Okay. Well, I guess I'll better let you go. I'm trying to have my garden, but you know what? My plants are so little.
One still?
So little.
Mercy. The tomatoes not doing anything. Corn not coming up.
It's so tiny, and my corn is grows kind of big, and I got string beans. I might have some string beans. I hope I have squash. I still got some squash plants, but I have some of the cutest little cabbage and cutest little lettuce and all, and I guess they're just gone.
Any cute cucumbers? I guess those would be.
I didn't put any cucumbers out.
I was going to say that would. I guess that would make them cutecumbers.
Huh?
Cutecumbers. Cute corn, cute tomatoes, cute screen, cute and cute cabbage, cute and they did cutecumbers. Sorry,
Would like to have some nice tomatoes though.
Oh, wouldn't you? There's going to be no garden here this year, I guess. But
really?
Yeah, I'll have to go and. I'll have to go bum some fresh tomatoes off my buddy.
This is the best I've done. Last year I put stuff out, but I put it out too late. But this year I still have some. We had all that rain here. Boy, they just grew like everything. They just loved it. But I don't know. Just guess I've lost my green thumb. It's been so long.
Well, don't give up. You may have those fresh tomatoes yet.
That would be great.
And you know what's really yummy? Do you like avocados?
Wanted? Oh yeah.
Well, when your tomatoes come in, just the best little lunch salad in the world. Nice sweet onion, and cut up an avocado and cut up a tomato.
Oh yeah.
And drizzle a little olive oil on that and a little bit of balsamic vinegar and let it sit. Maybe have it with some cottage cheese. Woo! Nice light lunch in hot weather, and you want to talk about something good.
Did you know that when you take the rat poison for your, you know, for your heartbeat or whatever it's
called? Oh, yeah, Coumadin.
You're not supposed to have olive oil.
Are you really not?
That's one of the no-nos.
I had no idea. Are you on that?
Yeah.
Well, we'll find something else then. It'd probably be good just with the balsamic vinegar.
Supposed to have, huh?
It'd probably be good just with the balsamic vinegar.
Oh yeah, you can have a little bit of anything. That's what they told me. They said if you have greens, don't eat the whole pot.
And oddly enough, with me, that's a challenge. It truly is.
Right.
Oh, I hadn't had a pot of homemade greens, home cooked greens, in so long.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to stop and get some turnip greens at the store.
Oh my gosh, man, that was
because I know a lot of people
trade when I was growing up.
A lot of people like collard greens, and some folks like mustard greens, and others like kale. I'm a turnip greens man.
You're the turnips, yeah. You like that? What they call pot liquor?
The whole mercy and some cornbread.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
All right, we've done it again. I'm hungry.
But yeah, when you're taking that cumin, or, well, I call it rat poison, warfarin, because I get the generic, there's a lot of things you're not supposed to have any green vegetables or an olive oil, and there's a lot of different things you're not supposed to eat. But it's kind of like.
Yeah, the green vegetables is probably because of a potential potassium overload. But
they have K, vitamin K. And that will
mess with your heart.
Do whatever it works against that, you know, because it's supposed to thin your blood, and that'll just thicken your blood.
Right.
But you think about all the foods you think they're good for you, but they're, you know, if you're taking a certain kind of medication, they're not.
Well, some's good and some's not.
Yeah. But anyway. But I'm beginning to think, I saw this comedian say that people... They, you know, people don't really know what they're doing, because they'll tell you 1 week that something's going to kill you, and they said, no, no. Remember how they were about eggs, and now they're saying eggs are good for you?
Right.
You know, it just seems like everything. I think it's the way things are raised and all the artificial stuff and feeding cows their ground-up brothers and sisters, you know.
What a way to put it, and yeah.
Yeah, making cannibals out of them. I've been thinking this for years and years. I had the answer, and nobody wouldn't listen to me. I think it causes a lot of the obesity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, girls are growing up quicker now. And I really think it has a lot to do with it.
Oh, I think there's a lot of merit to your argument.
Yeah.
I mean, if there wasn't, the National High Fructose Corn Sweetener Association wouldn't have been running ads saying, well, high fructose corn sweeteners just like sugar.
Yeah. And they get away with it. And they say overseas they will not put up. Over in Europe, they will not put up with that.
Well, among other things, that's because they can participate in the purchase of sugar from other countries, whereas we've got protectionist barriers to us buying sugar from anything but South Florida and maybe Louisiana and possibly Hawaii.
Yeah.
Well, Juanita, you have a wonderful evening, and
go out and
tell them tomato plants to quit laying down on the job.
Okay. They're still trying. There's one of them is trying to grow, but they're all little, teeny weeny thing.
Yeah. All right, then. Well, we will talk to you soon.
You too.
All
take
right.
Take care.
Uh-huh.
Night-night.
Bye now. Our View correspondent and overall buddy, Juanita, down in Central Florida. I'm rooting for them tomato plants. I don't know about you, but I'm rooting for them. So we are a little past the top of the third hour. A break would seem to be in order. We'll take one, and you can light up the phones if you want to. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, or 304-658-3333, email bobkincaid@gmail.com. It's all just that easy. America's listener-supported liberal voice will continue. And you realize when I say listener-supported liberal voice, I'm not talking about my voice. I'm talking about yours. That's what this is about. And this is the horn. Chat room wants one more cut. Crash test dummies, by the way.
What is it that makes me just a little bit crazy? There's a reason makes my breathing that so easy. Out here in my lunch day.
I could do a blade by a blade back. I could change the test results and I will get back. I've watched the summer evening pass by. I've heard the rattle in my
much just play the rest of that album for the rest of the show. Maybe it's not some people's cup of tea, but I have loved that album, Crash Test Dummies, God Shuffled His Feet, since the instant that I heard it. There's this really, really cool, yeah, and you know how it goes. Every town of any decent size whatsoever has a great independent record store, at least used to. And, well, let's see, growing up down home, it was Pegasus Records in Florence, Alabama. It's still there. And in Charleston, West Virginia, oh, mercy, I haven't been in there, and it's been so long since I've been able to afford the music. Come on, Bob, what's the name of the place? But oh, I can't remember it, and I'm so ashamed. But just this funky, esoteric record store. And I used to walk in, and a great guy named John. I keep running across these cool people named John. Great guy named John works there. And I just found out that his tastes worked very well with mine. And I said, walked in one time and said, "Hey, John, what's hit me with something?" Because, you know, whether it was, you know, rock and roll or country or bluegrass or jazz, he'd go, "Dude, I know you." And bang. And one day he just hands me this, and, you know, I don't even have to listen to it. I walk out the door because it's like having somebody like that in an independent record store is like having a really good tailor who knows exactly how clothes hang on you. And so I walked out the door with the Crash Test Dummies, God Shuffled His Feet. Popped it in the disc player of the car, cranked it up, and flew back up the mountain. And to this day, love it. Come on. Give me one other. I bet I get emails about this from the podcast crowd because somebody will go have time to research. Give me one other rock and roll song that references T.S. Eliot and Jean-Paul Sartre. Come on! Na 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 na. You ain't a gonna, 'cause that's it. And the whole album's like that. one of the most erotically beautiful love songs that I've ever heard is on that album. There was one the sort of got charted poppy kind of hit, and that was that. That's the name of the song. Kind of make my lips itch to hum like that. If you enjoyed those two cuts, do Brad Roberts a favor and go and buy Crash Test Dummies God Shuffled His Feet. Brad Roberts is the guy you heard singing, the songwriter as well. Born just a little bit short of a year after me, only he up in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And the Wikipedia article refers to them as a folk rock band. I guess I just think of it as a brains band. I'm not sure if he's still doing Crash Test Dummies. Maybe out on his own solo, I'm not sure. But he got started after attending a songwriter's workshop with Lyle Lovett at the Winnipeg Folk Festival. And what a smart guy. And that voice gives me hope because it tells me that there may be a key out there. I know, Bob, don't delude yourself. There may be a key out there that I can sing in. Nah, if it is, it's on an alien planet. We know. But let's roll on. Go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
Hey, you know, I wasn't somewhere I could hear the show, but so I'm not too sure what the high points are, but I'll tell you what the low points are.
All right.
What's up with these freaks? Shooting.
They're coming.
I don't mean to laugh.
No, it's 2.5 hours, Sandra, and I feel like some sort of liberal Paul Revere. They're coming for us.
Oh no, it's over the top. I looked at that. I thought, wow. That's all I can say is wow. Between that and the doctor being snuffed out.
Well, dig it. A white supremacist goes to the Holocaust Museum and shoots a black guy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's like right-wing hate trifecta.
No, but of course, the Jan Apollo, whatever her name is, apologized for bringing that up. Remember that?
Yeah.
For that report that was published during the Bush years?
Right. Commissioned by the Bush years. Yeah.
But the fact that she actually you know, that's what killed me. I'm like, oh, lady, don't apologize.
No, we're paying attention.
Not only that, but I'm sorry to go there, but what kind of lockdown will we be if that man's name was Muhammad Ababa?
Oh.
You know, I'm sorry to say that, but that's how we
Sikhs. The fact of the matter is, if that was the case, Sikhs, Sikhs all over America, you know, the guys that have to wear a turban as a function of their religious devotion, those people would be, oh, God, did I just say those people? Sikhs would be getting on planes and leaving yesterday.
Well, no, but I mean, it's just, and I don't mean to make light of it, because all of
it. No, you're not, but it's a fact.
I'm waiting, you know, they're softening it up, and then, I don't really know what to think about all this. What I am disturbed by is how calm, and, you know, you don't hear too much, no one's freaking out. What, is it okay or something?
No.
Where's the media?
Well, that was the weird thing. I did. I realized you couldn't tune in. But I opened the show with, of all things, a clip from Shepard Smith on Fox News saying, "You know what? There's a reason they put that report out on right wing extremism. It was a warning, and we had a hissy about it." Fox, Shepard Smith. I'm thinking the guy's either got a contract renewal coming up and don't want to work there anymore, or a desire to be unemployed, or I don't know.
Well, maybe he's trying to make up for defending O'Reilly a couple of days ago. You know what I mean?
There's that possibility.
Because, then, you know, he has some decency about him. It comes up now and then, so maybe a few people might be wondering. But don't forget, Rupert Murdoch said that Obama is dangerous. So anyway, I just was, you know, touch base.
I'm glad you did, too, because the thing that I've been hammering on, Sandra, is this. When Poplawski did those three police officers in Pittsburgh, we couldn't call it domestic terrorism. when Atkinson did the Unitarian Universalist Church in Knoxville, we couldn't call it domestic terrorism. When Roeder shot Dr. Tiller in Kansas, we couldn't call it domestic terrorism. Finally, now, when a guy who talks about a hating on the government, who thinks, can we call this domestic terrorism, pretty please?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I've been looking at some of it on CNN, and, you know, they're all sort of kind of coughing to that. But it does seem to be, people seem to be really straining to avoid it, and I'm kind of trying to figure out how many more they need. Seems like it's on a run right here.
I mean, we've had conversations on the show tonight, sane ones, Sandra, in which talking about the effects of these murderous wingnuts, you know, it's time to take the bumper stickers off the cars because you're just making a target out of yourself.
Well, what I'm looking at, though, is...
Got to lead the liberals a little bit.
Well, this conversion, it's like they can't take it. They're like, oh, my God, the Negroes in Cairo... Is all this too much for them?
Well, see, that's like last night I played two things toward the end of the program. I played John Voight's speech at the...
Oh, shoot, man, I forgot about that freak. No wonder Jolene is sort of standoff.
Yeah, I wouldn't... She may have his nose and lips, but they ain't much else of him to her, and no wonder she doesn't speak to him.
Yeah, no, he's out there. He is out there.
And then I sort of butted it up against Malloy referenced this the other night, and part of the reason that when ELO, Sue in the chat room, when she reminded me of the video, I jumped to play it because I heard Malloy reference it, and he said, you know, we have to deal with the FCC, and there is no way we could ever legally play this audio. And it's the video that Max Blumenthal shot in Jerusalem, in which he talks to a bunch of, you know, young folks there in Jerusalem about Obama. And it is some of the shockingest, most shockingly filthy language you've ever heard laid down on digital audio.
Oh, what, is this because while he was over in the Middle East?
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't have nothing good to say about it?
To put it lightly, they had lots of hateful stuff to say about it.
Oh, they can't deal with the Negro with the Muslim middle name speaking to the other darkies?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I know that. I mean, and even his speech was pretty, you know, supportive of Israel.
I thought it was too.
He spent a long time telling them how they should be dealing with Israel before he even acknowledged anything else. So I just think the whole imagery and the whole.
But see, he went on to say, listen, you really have to stop the expansion of the settlements, okay?
And just the expansions. He didn't say get rid of the whole settlements.
No, he didn't say get out. You know, I mean, get out is sort of what they ought to do, but never mind that. He just said quit expanding them.
Right. No, I, but see, this is so bad. I mean, I'm scared. What's next?
Well, what's next is what happened today. And that's the effect of terrorism because the randomness of this.
Yeah, well,
you know, you don't, you know, like, I hope I put it clearly, Sandra. Here in the hills, I just can't work up a good scared about Osama bin Laden.
Well, yeah, I'm really not scared of that.
But anywhere around here, it could be, you know, I mean, you got to remember that once upon a time I lived in a county in West Virginia that had the one of the heads of the American Nazi Party in it. I mean, this is West Virginia where a neo-Nazi plot to bomb the FBI center in Clarksburg was uncovered. And then, I mean, I really do live in a place where they walk among us.
Well, no, but at least you don't have to deal with the belt buckle, you know, courtesy of Mr. Schwarzenegger. So, I mean, you know, I'm kind of scared of these right-wing people. and they seem to be losing it. This dude, you see what he was about? Jesus.
Oh, yeah, I read some of his stuff, but I won't read it on air because it's vile.
Well, no, it's all.
I mean, this guy was a freeper. He was a darling of Stormfront. I imagine they probably had Prussian Blue come and sing for his birthday party.
But let me get this straight. These people, he almost went to the Fed meet while they were meeting, okay, with his guns and grenades and whatnot. He went to jail, but he got out. They released them freaks eventually, huh?
Yeah. 6.5 years this dude served.
How long?
6.5 years. For trying to take hostages at the Federal Reserve.
And, of course, he's blaming the Negroes on a jury because it's in D.C.
Right.
And the Jew judge that sentenced him.
And the Jewish lawyer and... Right.
you got to laugh because it's so out there. But what's not out there is the sheer numbers of these freaks that are in this country. And
I don't think that right-wing extremism report notwithstanding... Sandra, I don't think we have a way of counting them.
Oh, no.
I mean, you probably didn't hear it, but I've beaten people over the head with this. But Sunday, shamefully had to go to Wally World.
Well, hey, listen, you broke. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, and it's the only place you can buy a pair of shoes at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, no, ain't nobody... Castigate you for that, man.
No. I've whipped myself several times with some poorly cooked pasta.
I try my best not to, but,
So I'm walking out of there, and there's a dude walking out beside me with a gun on his hip.
Oh, God.
Getting into one of them cars with the bumper stickers that says you can have my guns when you pry them from my cold, dead fingers. And I'm parked across from him with a bumper sticker that says I love mountains. And Obama Biden.
Oh no. And you're not armed, right?
No.
Well, you might want to change that.
I think it may be time to go get, cause see, this is a little known secret about West Virginia.
Mm.
Several years ago we had a constitutional amendment on the ballot that reaffirmed our right to keep and arm bears. And it is the law of the state of West Virginia that as long as you are carrying in what is called open and notorious fashion, you can carry anything you want anywhere you want. As long as you strap it on and everybody can see that you're carrying a gun, you can carry a gun. You can march down Main Street with a freaking howitzer as long as you don't try to hide it from anybody.
And the purpose of that is...
to make the short Johnsoned guys feel long Johnsoned, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, God. Well, no, see, I mean, that's scary because obviously people aren't in their right mind, so.
No, I mean, but honest to God, Sandra, what, I mean, you say, you know, and the point of that is what? The point of the New Bethel Church, reforming in faith, spirit-filled in practice, with their open carry celebration coming up on June 27th, 2009, the little blurb on New Bethel's website reads as follows. In celebration of July 4th and our rights as Americans, New Bethel Church will be hosting an open carry celebration for all who support First and Second Amendment rights. It will be held on Saturday, June 27th, the weekend before July 4th. It'll begin at 5 p.m. and picnic food will be served. We're asking responsible handgun owners to attend this celebration openly wearing their sidearm. This will be a cold range carry, meaning handguns must be unloaded and in a secure holster. Area gun store firing range owners will be invited to attend and tell about, honest to God, a church is holding a gun bazaar.
I mean, what century is this? And Tennessee just passed a law where you can just roll up in a coffee shop, Starbucks, guns, whatever the hell, right?
Yeah, well, South Carolina the Governor Sanford, who doesn't want school children to have school funding, does want to make sure that there are guns in the schools. He just signed a bill, Sandra.
Well, maybe he should make sure
that allows people to carry guns on school property.
Well, he might want to make sure he don't show up on a school, because I don't think he that popular across the board, truth be told.
Maybe it's an underhanded liberal plot to get him to do just that.
You know, because I think that guy is in some sort of bubble. He's an idiot, and I don't know. Unless that state is as ass backwards as it seems to be, they cannot keep that man in power. He's a horror show.
No, wait. Where do you think you're talking about? I mean, you are well established as being highly intelligent, Sandra, but you've taken leave of your senses, dear.
Oh, God. And so you, okay, listen, no. I'm just...
Get rid of him? South Carolina will reelect him and give him a Laurel and Hardy handshake.
After they rise up, after the boot get off their necks?
Oh, but wait, the Bethel Church story's not over.
Oh, no.
At the open carry celebration on June 27, 2009, they're going to the followers of the Prince of Peace are going to raffle a handgun.
You know what? Wow. God. I mean,
all that is asked. Wait. All that is asked is that you bring a sidearm, a friend who has a sidearm, and a canned good for the local food bank. Reach for the green beans, punk.
Oh, hell no. You know what? Wow, that's... You just gave me a new term I never heard. Now, what is it called when you walk around with no bullets?
That is a cold-range carry.
A cold-range carry. Oh, my God. I mean, I'm from California, you know. It's not really gunned out here. You actually have to... You only can buy, I think...
30 a day.
One gun a month here. Something real drastic, man. Yeah, you can only buy one handgun a month. And you have to have some sort of training and permits. And, ooh, it's real. A lot of barriers here.
Well, the website, because you deserve to go see this. The website for this is New Bethel Church KY. And we do not mean the lubricant. We mean Kentucky. The other phrase for cold range carry, I am informed by ELO, is it's called Barney Fifing. You know, where the bullet's in your shirt pocket.
Oh, come on.
The website is newbethelchurchky.org.
Church.
KY.
KY.
KY, Kentucky.
It has the nerve to be an org, huh?
Yeah, .org. /opencarrycelebration.htm. And the reason I'm giving this out, I mean, you know me, Sandra. I pay attention to detail.
Oh, yeah?
I'm one of those detail-oriented kind of guys. Well, they got this big graphic underneath the little blurb of their, it's their poster. And it shows an old, the cylinder to an old, revolver. But the way they've got the print done up, and on the revolver itself, I kid you not, it looks like there is blood dripping from it.
Oh, no way. Wow. Okay, I got to go check that out. Good Lord.
I mean, I'm not kidding, because it's up, you know, it's up on the cylinder. And there are these drops of... Yeah, no shit. There are drops of blood on this gun.
Man, yeah, it seems to be, you know, getting away from us.
But this is a church.
Yeah, well.
You know, Jesus Christ, sell everything you own and follow me, church.
Right, no, I guess not. I don't know what you're...
And they've invited the Kanab Creek Gun Range to come and hustle their wares?
And you just said you have to...
Yeah, Jesus wouldn't be running none of them out of the temple. He'd get a cap bust in his ass.
And you're required to show up with some freak with some sort of gun, right?
Yeah, you got to show up with your gun on your hip, unloaded, mm-hmm. and bring a friend with a gun on his hip and a canned good for the local food bank.
But you know. Oh, my goodness. I love that softening the... The canned good is that nice touch. What the hell?
Well, like I said, here, reach for it, punk. Reach for the food.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm just having a real problem with this.
I'm having a real problem with these white people who are, like, imploding. They're scary. No.
Oh, by the way, Sandra, in the course of our discussion, we also forgot the people who are studying English, the new immigrants getting shot up too. We forgot them.
Oh, snap, shit. And that was like 13 people. That was hella folks.
Yeah.
That's right. It's just been a parade of, it's just awful. But see, Fox, none of them people are to blame. I mean, to look at Bill O'Reilly.
No, he doesn't have anything in it.
My God, it's disgusting. He's disgusting, you know.
And I dare and defy you. I issued the challenge earlier. I'll issue it to you, too. Count, you know, just sort of wander the web and see how long it takes before someone starts talking about the fact that James Van Brune proved that the handgun ban in D.C. was ineffective.
Oh, well, no, their response is always more weapons and armaments. That's always their response to it. I just find the whole thing scary, you know. And these people who don't understand the economics that's going down, they're just going to get angrier and angrier, you know.
And the thing is, again, we don't know where they're going to strike next. And you know, the other thing you can count the number of times that this guy is referred to in the for-profit media as crazy, extremist, lunatic, lost his mind, shattered, cracked.
And not only that, but they spent a whole lot of time making sure, you know, to come across as the lone loon, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he didn't have many friends, kept mostly to himself.
Right, that whole song and dance.
Only problem is, this guy didn't. I mean, this guy was out there, he was a hero to the neo-Nazis.
He wasn't a lone anybody, he was part of the big internet community, right?
Huge.
You can't have it both ways. Either the internet has communities, or they don't. You know, which one is it? You know?
Well, it has communities, and, you know, there's a real hardcore right-wing community called Free Republic, and they have conveniently sent all of his posts down the memory hole.
Well, you know, I remember going to that when that thing that died recently, I don't care, Tony Snow, his ass used to be a member of Stormfront? Storm this? You know, he tried to lie, but I found them postings. You know what I'm saying? So all them freaks, they about a couple of key strokes away from this whole thing, see? So I don't, you know, they're the propaganda wing of it.
And have you seen Van Brunn's postings on Free Republic? Obama is missing. And that was Tuesday, December 2nd. This post last year. Hitler's worst mistake, he didn't gas the Jews. And he concluded that little post by saying, prepare to die, white America, you deserve it.
Right, yeah, no, I did see that. They kept showing that on the news. But,
But they show it as proof that he's insane.
Right, but they don't seem to be willing or wanting to make the connection with, because you don't see no left-wing freaks doing this.
No.
No, we... No left-wing spokesperson.
No, we'll go pray or something.
No, but, you know, they're trying their best to make some connections, and they can't produce any quotes. Cause,
well, that's another one of those. Give it 24 hours before the next William Ayers reference.
Oh, God, you know, it's just, you know, oh, yeah. Oh, so we, yeah, what's that, 50 years ago at this point?
Yeah, something like 40.
God. Anyway, well, listen, I'll leave you to it. I just really can't believe what's going on.
It gets a little harder every day and a little scarier.
It is quite disturbing.
And I really am. I'm peeling the bumper stickers.
I think I might have to go that route, too. I don't really know. I haven't heard nothing too funky in California, but you never know.
But they're there. You know they're there. It ain't all Los Angeles and San Francisco.
Oh, you're right about that madness. Okay, well, listen, have a good evening.
All right, take it easy, Sandra. Always good to talk to you. Bye. And rolling on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Come on.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. What's been up to?
Oh, not a heck of a lot. This Vince?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I know. I have that distinctive voice that no one can tell who I am. I'm like a ninja.
Yeah, if you're a stealth horn caller. And you better keep it that way, because you're in another one of those places where you might want to peel the bumper stickers.
Yeah, I know, right? I was just about that. You know, why is it that they always scream up and down, they're coming to get us. We'll be less safe under a Democrat. They're right, but not for the reason that they're saying they're right for. It's because whenever a Democrat gets in power, their own people start going flipping nuts. You know, when was the last time some crazy left-wing extremist started shooting people up because the Rush Limbaugh said something?
Never.
Yeah, exactly.
No. More precisely, when's the last time some? Because you know we exist. You know, us gun-owning liberals. I know Malloy talks about it frequently. I'm one of them. You know, Bart Kopp over there on the internets. He's a gun-owning liberal. And no matter how, I have never listened to Malloy or read a Bart Kopp page and said, you know, I need to go shoot somebody. That needs a good killing. No, because my brain works right, Vince. Your brain works right. These people, they're not crazy. Their brains are broken. Or have been broken or something, because I've had this sort of internal monologue or external monologue, really, going all night long. They're not crazy. But something has gone sideways.
Which then begs the question, are they Republicans because they're broke, or are they broke because they're Republicans? Chicken and the egg. I had a funny story for you today being prayer meeting and all.
Yeah.
I was at work today. And for those of you who may not be familiar with me, I work as a technical support rep for a multinational company doing technical support for internet service. I had this gentleman come in, and he was a cool guy. I mean, he was an older gentleman, probably, I would guesstimate, probably in his 70s or 80s. Smart guy. It's just, you know, older people, sometimes with technology, it doesn't always mix too well. You know, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. When he was in something he knew about, he was fine. When he got into something he didn't, he was a little slow on the uptake. And unfortunately, you know, it just took me a while to work through the call. But, you know, the way I view it, yeah, it's frustrating, but what else am I going to be doing? And job security for me, you know, it's what I'm here to do. That's why I took the job. So I go through and I go through the whole routine. And it was all really simple stuff. It just took a while. And about an hour and a half later, we had him online running, and everything's perfectly fine. And we got to the end of the call, and he's like, "You're so nice and patient. You must be a Christian." For the record, I do happen to be a card-carrying neo-pagan.
Yeah, right. Yes. One of those that Newt Gingrich's worried about.
Yeah. We're going to take over the world.
You got the sheepskin leggings like in the bad Dan Aykroyd Dragnet movie?
Oh, of course. That's prerequisite.
Yeah.
But I sat there and I was like, can't tell Custer. Because, you know, we can't talk about that for obvious reasons. I'm sitting there wanting to go. Can't make comment. Can't shove it in his face, even though I want to. You know, because, you know, you want to say, you know, well, you know, because you would hope that by maybe entering that dialogue, you might open someone's eyes. Now, of course, that wouldn't have happened. More than likely, I would have just started something that would have ended up getting me in trouble. So, of course, I would have, like, kept my mouth shut. But, you know, one would hope.
Well, what did you say?
I just kind of kept my mouth shut and went, well, thank you very much, sir. Is there anything else I can help you with today? You know, at that point, I just wanted them off my phone. Because, you know, they do that all the time. They'll start that conversation with you, you know. I had one a couple.
And I guess the boss folks would not like it if you closed the call by saying, Krishna be with you.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that wouldn't work. No, we're
See, that's the thing about the corporate structure, Vince. They take the fun out of everything.
Well, I gotta look at it this way, though, because, I mean, the company I work for all intents and purposes, is actually pretty cool. We do have our script, but they flat out say, you know, we have your script, and people in other call centers, like the overseas ones, they will follow those scripts to the letter, and they flat out told us during new hire training, we don't want you. We want to give you a general idea of what to say, but build a rapport with the customer and replace it. Say the same thing, but replace the style with your own. So we're given pretty wide latitude about what we can say on the phone. you know, if you talk to one of us, we're not going to just say the same scripts over and over and over and over. Because that just irritates people, and my company realizes that, or at least is beginning to. And, you know, but there's a very good reason why they say don't discuss religion and politics, because if you get somebody going, it just completely wrecks the whole thing. And I can't tell you, like, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to somebody on the phone, and I'm sitting here trying to help him, you know, all of a sudden goes, man, that Obama, he's gonna take away all the car companies and socialize everything, and I'm like, that's nice, sir. Can you go ahead and click this, please? You know, because you know, you just kind of, you can't, if you don't say anything, they want to keep going. Because I don't know what it is, they just want to force us.
Silence is acceptance, Vince.
I understand this, so I just kind of, you know, I understand that, but you know, it's my job.
Right. So have you found the start button on your computer, sir? Yeah, exactly.
And just keep the conversation going, because you can't say anything. You know, because if you do, you're going to get sidetracked, and you're not going to be doing your job, and you're just going to irritate the customer. Because what am I going to do? I'm sitting here, the guy calls me for technical help. Am I going to sit here and get in an argument with him over the finer points of Middle East politics? Yeah, it wouldn't work too well.
Yeah, bosses ain't going to like that.
There's good reason for that, I have to admit, but still it's frustrating because, you know, I'm not illustrating it to illustrate the evil corporate won't let me talk aspect of it. I'm illustrating it to illustrate the whole, why do these people want to discuss this everywhere?
Well, but wait, Vince, wait. See, that's another one of those places where we're so far behind the curve we think we're on straight road. Because how many times have I suggested liberal radio is all well and good, but the change is going to happen when you get bold enough to start talking to people in the post office or at the grocery store or while you're pumping gas.
I've done that.
See, the other side is much better at that. And, you know, it's like the day I was standing in the little grocery store up the road here, and the guy in front of me says, That old
Obama.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because, you know, they just make assumptions that you want to hear this because, you know, you're white like them.
Yeah, I actually had one of those moments, too, the other day. I was in a Walmart. Can't help it. They're all over the place.
I know. Happened to me, too.
And my wife works for one. And the lady in there was all on about, I don't even know how the heck got this started, but, you know, she was railing on Christopher Reeve, you know, the Superman guy.
Yeah, what? Huh?
She was railing on Christopher Reeve because he was wanting to murder them babies over that stem cell research thing. And I hope he's burning in hell right now. I don't even remember what I said, but at the time, you know, I was just like, what do you ever do to you? And she made some smart book comment. I'm glad he's dead, and I hope he's burning in hell right now. And I said, right Christian answer to that there. Jesus would be proud. Have a nice day.
Oh, snap! Score! Short side! Gotta love it. But see, the thing is, with this stuff going down now, Vince, here's the other side of it. To the extent that liberals were beginning to be almost bold enough to talk in the post office, the gas station, the grocery store, there's a whole bunch of us going to shut up now, because you never know when the next one's going to be a right-wing nut who's going to stitch your ass the minute you say, no, I was proud to vote for Obama. Well, there's one less I'll vote for him next time! You know how it works. Hey, Vince, good to hear from you, brother. Got a roll.
All right. Talk to you later, Bob.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. I do not envy Vince and what he has to put up with. Not even a little bit. Because I've done jobs like that. And you wind up having to go, this nigga. Yeah, after the phone call has ended. So that's the show for tonight. Thanks for joining in. Hope you'll be here tomorrow night as well. Thanks to John Fox, Peter Godbold, Ben Birch. Thanks to Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. It takes a lot of guts to be them, and they never shrink. They never shrink from a fight. Makes me awful proud. And a little good night tonight. We say goodbye to, you've heard me refer to him, we say goodbye to Loki, the conversation radio schnauzer. Told you the other night he was sick. Loki died today. Mighty sad around here. But we do care about each other. And I figured you'd want to know. So that's the show. Take care. I know it's Malloy's line, but it seems appropriate tonight. Watch your back. No, really. Watch your back. And Gina, it's all for you.
Conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! I got a feeling it's going to be a busy night. Kind of hard to be jovial about things, but after what went on today, and you know, I gotta admit, it's prayer meeting. You know what? I'm not up to the prayer meeting intro tonight either. And I'm not trying to be grim or anything, but I hate it. I freaking hate it when I sit behind this microphone like I did last night. And I say things like, they're dangerous, they're killers, they're murderous. And then I go to check the news and start doing my show prep, and lo and behold, I get proved right. But it's going to be, you know, the usual same old, sorry litany of BS in the for-profit media as we try to analyze just why it is that an octogenarian named James von Brunn would go in and shoot up the Holocaust Museum. And, you know, I'm going to... Thank God I don't watch very much for-profit media. Because if I did, I'd never get past well howdy on this program. It'd all be screaming. It'd just be, ah! For 3 hours.
Because I know what's coming. I know all the adjectives that are going to be used to describe James von Brunn, and none of them are going to be the right one. None of them are going to be the correct one. None of them are going to be the fact-based one. I can't imagine as plugged in as the Horn audience, the Horn family, is that you don't know what I'm talking about. I heard from News Ninja Susan, who sent me to a truly horrifying website earlier this afternoon, and sort of, whoo! See how easy it is to start? Yeah. I mean, what did Walt Whitman call those? Barbaric yawps. Yeah, I'm feeling kind of yawpy. Whew! Woof! Because you know what's going to be said. Now, I got to admit, I was a little surprised. I was a little surprised at what came from the mouth of Shepard Smith on Fox News. You know, Fox has spent so much time. I mean, you've got the falafel boy out there, Bill O'Reilly, saying that he never called Dr. Tiller Dr. Killer when it exists on the tape. You can hear him call him Dr. Killer. There's a difference between the and the. They happen in different parts of the mouth. A speech pathologist could tell you exactly what they are. But being as I'm not a speech pathologist, I can't. But one is, and it happens right behind the front teeth, with the tongue on the front end of the hard palate. And as in killer, happens back toward the soft palate, with the back of the tongue. But never mind that. O'Reilly's out there saying that, you know, he didn't say it, and he says that he didn't say it because the doctored Fox transcripts, they, you know, conveniently changed it to Dr. Tiller. And there's been ongoing sort of damage control at Fox over Falafel Boy and the direct connection that he now has to two separate murders in two separate killing sprees in two separate churches in two separate summers. So I was a little shocked to hear this coming from Shepard Smith.
You know, we got this warning from Homeland Security, and at the time, I mean, the right went absolutely bonkers. I mean, the wording on it, I mean, they've all come back and said our wording should have been better on that. That was a little weird. But now, like Savannah Stover has just written me from Colorado, shame on you and Catherine Herridge for perpetrating the obscene Department of Homeland Security report on military extremists. Shame on you. This is a former military guy, and he's gone extremist. They were warning us for a reason, not about something political or social or anything else, except they see signs that this sort of thing is bubbling up. They saw the signs, and now it has begun. I just wonder if there's really a way to put a hold on it. Maybe sending out a, you know, it's like when they used to raise the threat level in the United States. Oh, we've gone to code red. I'm like, so what does this make me do? You know, do I put double bolts on the lock when I go in and use the bathroom? You don't really change anything. But this warning, as it turns out, there was something to it. It was not obscene by the Department of Homeland Security, Savannah Stover in Colorado. It was a warning to us all. And it appears now that they were right.
And it was simply pointing out the possibilities. And that report had been requested a significant amount of time prior to its release. And you're right, it was incredibly emotive. Again, by a small group of, I think, that came out and said, oh my God, how can you? Well, all they're doing is what they're tasked with doing, examining all the various possibilities. And someone like von Braun falls into a distinct possibility on the domestic side, and we have to be aware of that. But it's clearly it's an emotive subject. There's no doubt about that. It's just that, again, we have an issue in this country right now when it comes to national security. And there is a tendency for us to allow the events of the past, as difficult as that is to say, and some people say, well, we'll never forget 9/11. Well,
we
see it in our attitudes towards increased security sometimes. Mm. I've sat, and I'm sure you've done the same thing. You're in line at the airport. People are complaining about security.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I can't believe I got to take my shoes off still.
Yeah.
Well, think back, and then you look at an incident like this.
Yeah.
But we're not. Now, just wait. I mean, I realize I'm quibbling over details here. We're not taking our shoes off because of what happened.